The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nicknamed my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called, jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
And it is afternoon here at Gillette Stadium today on this, Thursday, July 18th, and my God, it is hot still. When is it going to break?
And you're just talking about in here, where supposedly, based on the vents in the ceiling, we have air conditioning.
Well, we do have air conditioning on the other side of the glass, I think.
Yeah, but not in here.
Eric Scalavino,
I believe Sunday
no
is the answer to that
pleats
question.
Today. Not wearing pleats.
No pleats?
No pleats. I don't wear
but
pleats.
But do you have an
I was gonna wear shorts
erection?
No, you guys are here.
That's why I'm worried.
Paul Perillo.
Oh! I mean, I'm
Andy
a little
Hart.
Old for you, but, you know, Andy's...
No.
Yeah, actually, Andy's
I'm
a little old
for
you,
for
too.
Him too.
No.
Kevin's in the...
No, that's okay.
Bracket. If we had another intern,
and Fred's running around the building somewhere, assuming he has pants on because he's
yeah,
not at
Fred
home.
Fred is continuing his vacation while being here.
Where'd you go on vacation? Gillette Stadium.
My office.
So you got the three of us for the next couple hours, and we're putting an issue together this week. So it really is PFW in Progress.
And I'm way behind.
Are you?
Oh yeah.
Why?
Way. But I don't know. It's my typical. I fall behind and then I scramble.
Put everything off until the last minute.
Yeah.
And throw it together.
You know how Bill always says in
you
his Friday press conferences,
tomorrow.
The hay is in the barn?
Yeah. You have to. You
Saturday night, the hay would be strewn about the field.
Yeah, well, more hay than we know what to do with.
But yeah, we're putting our training camp preview together. So that means we're back basically to
weekly.
Patriots football weekly.
Weeklies, get them.
Patriots football Dollar. Monthly. And I just am still. Can't
rosters
believe that it's
weekly.
Next
summer's
week.
Over.
No, summer's still here. It's 90 something degrees out, but it is over for us.
And the players, by the way. They've all begun tweeting, you know, like, see you soon, Callie. I saw Shane Vereen and you know, a few others as they head back to the area because
yeah. Coaches are already here.
Coaches are back.
Some players probably are in
yeah.
the neighborhood at least. If
Vince Wilfork shooting a photo shoot for the catalog today.
Yeah. Did you see him?
No. Heard he was here though.
Yeah. I heard that
and,
too.
Yeah.
Rookies show up this weekend,
yeah,
and then veterans by next, Thursday, a week from today. And then a week from tomorrow, first practice, 9 a.m., sharp.
A week from today, you know what that means.
What does
conditioning
that
run. Imagine if they had to do it today.
Oh,
you could
boy.
Die. Especially like Wilfork or somebody like that.
Well, maybe they would do it in the bubble.
I guess.
I would imagine that's where they do it because it's unhealthy conditions to be out there.
Yes, it is.
It really is.
This would be a problem if this was the start of camp.
Yes.
This week.
Oh, yeah.
You would hear a lot of Corey Stringer stories and extra water breaks and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and for the players, too. I mean, not just the media in the tent.
Yeah, no. Well done, Eric.
I'd have multiple Gatorades on a day like today.
You would definitely see Paul's nipples poking through his wet shirt. You know, wet shirt contest.
Oh, Lord. 508-298-0398 is our Ace Ticket hotline, as always. Webradio@patriots.com, the email address. Guys, have you seen the Gronkowski family video that was on CBS?
Yes.
What was it, the early show or CBS, whatever their silly show was called in the morning? What did you make of it? It's Rob and his brothers and his dad.
Gordy.
Ostensibly being interviewed for Growing Up Gronk, which I still think is a funny title since he and none of them have seemed to have grown up yet. But they're
an angry little man. Well,
I'm not angry.
Say Growing Up Gronk. Didn't say growed up.
Yeah. growed up.
It would have.
If he had actually written it.
Yep. they got blown out.
The reporter who was interviewing them, Don Dollar, I think was his name, said at one point, so I have to ask you about the Hernandez situation. And Gronk got visibly, I don't want to say upset, but he seemed to take a turn for the more serious.
He definitely did, and he tried to play it off with the next question. Mm. Learned that from my agent, Drew Rosenhaus. And then when the guy followed up again, he was, you know, started to get up to end the interview. And I thought it was interesting.
Well, actually, when he turned to his dad, he actually did.
Right. All the brothers
were laughing.
And it was like, I think that was just like an uncomfortable laughter from them. But
yeah, but for him, it looked like he was seriously upset at having
my guess is, as I said to Paul, prior to the interview, they said, I'm not talking about Hernandez. And this guy, as Paul said, just took a swing and said, I got to do my job and ask a Hernandez question. So that would be why Gronkowski would specifically be upset. Not just that they asked him, but that I just told you not to ask him.
I actually see both sides.
Sure.
I could see that happening just the way Andy just described, and I can understand why Rob, you know, I think understandably was upset. He told him not to ask him. But on the other side is that guy can't be a reporter if he doesn't ask that question. I mean, that guy is laughed out of the
problem with that is the lying. Did you say I won't ask the question and then asked it?
That's different.
Because like, otherwise you can say, I have to ask you, and they have the right to say, well, we're going to leave then.
Right. I don't know what was said. And maybe you'll find out, and then you get into, well, you know, that was a scummy thing to do or, you know, maybe an unethical thing to do.
Right.
But in terms of the guy has to ask the question. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He has to.
Because
if he doesn't ask the question, he turns into the guy, you know, like remember when everybody made fun of Jim Gray when he interviewed Pete Rose all those years ago? Mm-hmm. Jim Gray had to do that. That's the only question everybody. Now, did he belabor it? Yes, but if you don't ask that question, you're out of the business.
Right, but it's also slimy if you said you weren't going.
If you said you wouldn't, and then you did.
Wait until the cameras were rolling and changed your
whole different ball. Whole different
now.
Ball of wax.
We've all been in situations like that, group media interviews with a player, and there have been like beforehand. There've usually been either the PR person or the player himself says, "I'm not talking about such and such," whatever the taboo topic of the day happens to be. And eventually somebody in the media group tries to bring up the subject somehow, either directly or indirectly, and the player has gone back on his promise and actually given some sort of reaction.
A lot of times.
So it's not unheard of for a player to say, or, you know, an interview subject to say ahead of time, I'm not going to talk about this, but then when it's brought up, they feel obliged to say something.
Right.
And they do it. So you have to understand.
Unless he flat out lied and said, I won't ask you, and then asked him, I have no problem with it. That's the only thing that I think is questionable, sleazy, whatever.
I agree.
If there was an actual lie. I won't ask you.
Yeah, if there was an agreement made, that's right. But if Gronk's agent or PR, whoever was handling the PR for the book, said to the reporter, we don't want any Hernandez questions.
Right.
The reporter can say, the hell with you. I don't take my orders from you.
Right.
I'm here to do an interview.
And I'll give you
an example. It's not like when Peter King interviews Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But, see, that's kind of what I'm talking about.
That Peter he does King, take his orders from Tom Brady.
Peter King.
Monday morning quarterback, by the way, getting ready to... You see all those tweets yesterday? They're getting ready
about some show or something?
The whole thing.
It launches
They were
Monday.
Doing photo shoots. They were doing... I saw all these photos of, like, Bedard and that Jenny Ventress, I think, is in
it. She's on the show?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I don't really know what they're going to do.
Oh, it's a website.
Yeah,
oh,
it's launching
I think
Monday.
They have video.
Oh, okay.
I think they will,
Bedard,
too,
one of them was, you know, shooting videos for the... And Bedard first up.
It's like the,
you know, maybe the
Grantland
thing.
Is that what it's supposed to be?
Bedard check.
Is that what it's supposed to be like? The what? Your guys' Grantland site?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's just on football. It's just, just dedicated to football.
And just a lot of retractions later after he screws up quotes.
Second Peter King check. Check. Double check.
Actually a friend of the show, by the way.
Is he?
Well, he was on the show and he was nice. Oh.
Well, there are a lot of people that are nice.
I don't remember when Peter King was.
Oh, yeah. If ifs and buts were candies and nuts.
Oh, that's right.
It was a while.
Yeah, that must have been a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, 5-7 years ago. But he is a friend of the show. Hmm. Howie Long, all those guys.
Not anymore. He's not. after you just eviscerated him.
Now, to go back to a point, a topic that we were talking about the other day related to Gronk, in that video, did you happen to notice anything different in his physique? I mean, was there a noticeable difference to you in how slim his
not as much
body
as I did the
been.
Other the first time
I
on
didn't
the
see
stage.
It, so I
oh, you haven't
comment.
You haven't looked at it?
Yeah, the first time on the stage, I thought he looked really skinny. But it's
really hard to tell too because he's wearing like a big baggy T-shirt.
But it also
kind
goes
of.
Without saying. I mean, you can't lift for months and months and months. I don't know exactly when he could and then had to stop again with the there were probably various points in there where he was working out pretty hard and then maybe had to pull off, but it's obvious you're going to lose muscle and strength. And he'll get it back relatively quickly when he's cleared at whatever point, you know, it was supposed to be 6 weeks from surgery.
Yeah, it's like halfway.
But I still have my doubts as to if and when, and Paul and I were sort of talking about this and I joked, you will see Rob Gronkowski this year.
Yeah, but will you see Gronk?
Will you see the guy who is at his best, strong, fun-loving, having fun, just playing football out there?
Dominant.
And I don't know. I don't know.
I think
will you get
will.
The one touchdown a game guy out there and all that? I have no idea.
And the one thing that I'm worried about, and we, you know, Eric, you and I with Freddie a few weeks back touched on this, and I'm willing to sort of give the team the benefit of the doubt here. I think the Patriots will err on the side of caution with this situation. So that therefore, I think we will see Gronk, the
but
dominant
what if we
Gronk.
Never see Gronk. I mean, you taught me more than anyone. Once you have a back injury, you have a back injury. Well, now this guy is two surgeries into his back.
Fair concern. Absolutely. A legitimate concern. He'll never be the same regardless of how his rehab is handled.
Right.
They could do everything absolutely perfect. Legitimately concerned that he'll never be the same. I think that he will be. Because I think he's dealt with this in the past and he's proven that he can get by, he can get past it. Now,
took a whole year off though.
I still don't think that he is going to be long term. You know, the guy that he could be. You know, the Tony Gonzalez shattering all the records and all.
I don't think he's
going
to
be a longevity guy.
To be well,
right.
Maybe
that's what I'm saying.
You mean like 10 years from now?
Yeah,
kind of
I don't think that long term. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be the.
But
he's not going to have a long career. I don't think.
I think
certainly
it's going to be hard on the path that he's going. It's going to be difficult to do.
But
that.
I do think this year, as long as they handle him properly, and by that I mean.
Don't rush
it. Let's not worry about getting him back for week 5 or week 6 or week 8 or whatever that game that you think he's on the edge.
Right.
Make sure that he's ready when he comes back.
So and PUP?
I think that we have...
I
don't know what the date is, though. I mean, it could be week 3 that we know for 100% sure he's right. Whatever it is, I mean, I would tend to think, yes, Andy, PUP. That would be my guess. Why rush him back? And then I think when you get to November, December, and January, I think he will be Gronk. Now... There's no sure thing. You're absolutely right. Legitimate concern on your part.
Now, he's had a similar type surgery before, and he missed an entire year of football when he was at Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the year, after which he was drafted.
And was great.
By New England. And was great.
And looked great immediately.
Immediately. Was
fine.
Right.
I still haven't found...
But he did take a whole season of football off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, he was
off from physical football for nearly 12 months.
Right.
And from, football practice for at least... 7 months.
Do you
or
know when
right.
he had the surgery?
September, I believe.
So he did have it in September.
It was
early
so there
the
was no chance that he could come back.
No, it was sort of. If I remember reading it, they were kind of delaying it. Thought it wasn't going to be season surgery. Blah blah. And then he has to have surgery.
Hmm.
That's the way I remember it. I might be wrong, but.
But so in
that
case,
to me, I mean, that kind of makes this a little like you could say, well, yeah, he had a whole year up, but. There was no option for him to come back. It's not like he had it in May, and it cost him the whole year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It's not apples to apples.
You know, all the stories, I don't know, Ben Volen did it, or, all the various players.
Oh, yeah, Ben Volen
I came
did
back fast,
story.
I came back slow, 10 months, I never felt the same.
Like, really ran the gamut.
Yeah.
Some guys were never the same. Some guys came back extremely quickly. Some guys, it took almost the whole year before they could even really feel like they could lift and be themselves.
Now, I wonder if... having had a similar surgery, it's an indication that he's able to do that, or if each surgery is different, not just each person, but each surgery is different.
If each surgery is different, that's a problem. Because the first time he may have been fortunate and had the good return.
Yeah.
The second one might not be as fortunate.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I've said this, I think back surgeries are dangerous.
They're serious and dangerous.
I'm skeptical.
No matter
you're
what.
Never the same. And I'm talking about just to like be a human being and live. If a doctor ever tells me I need back surgery, it's going to be the last thing I do. Like, I need this to live. I would never, I mean, to me, it's not something you go into lightly at all.
No. God, no. You do.
Even though Fred says, you know, it's not like they cut him open. It was arthroscopic.
You still have to make an incision, Fred.
It was telepathic surgery. He just looked at the back.
I do think every surgery is different, obviously. But I also think there's a risk in the fact that he is experienced with this and that it went so well for him the first time. But not only that, it was 5 years ago. And I know that he's still a young guy.
It was 5 years and 150 parties ago.
Well, yeah. You know, even though he's still a young guy.
Five trips to Vegas ago.
And a DDT.
He's a lot older than he was the last time. And he's probably going to be looking at it like, well, last time I did this.
Especially
so I can do this now.
I mean, it's only been like 5 years on the calendar. But in Gronk years, it's like 22.
Yeah. Ay, ay, ay. Gronk, it's just. I'm trying to be optimistic as I can about him.
I wouldn't.
But I don't see how he doesn't start on PUP.
So what happened when I was gone?
And I mean, by start, I mean start the season.
Right.
I don't mean start camp.
Yeah, camp PUP is
that's
a foregone conclusion, even
I mean
though,
to start
you know,
the season.
We needed sources from
And
Rap
I think that's
sheet to
I think that's
us.
Your best option for getting him back to being Gronk, not just Rob Gronkowski, but getting Gronk back.
Well,
I think he needs
that's
as
how
much
I feel.
Time as possible.
If they handle this listen, I'm not trying to say that I know more than they do. I know that's how the fans take it. Well, that's not what I mean. What I'm saying is whenever they have the information, if it's week one, whatever it is, just as long as you are sure that he is 100% ready to come back, I don't care when it is. I just want them to wait for that date. If it means he doesn't have to miss any time, great. I personally think
he's
that he's got
to miss
some.
Yeah.
And I'm not as concerned about where he is at the beginning of the season as I am in the middle to the end of the season.
Yeah. That's when it
counts. And I think that's when you can really benefit from having him. That allows Brady to sort of start the season knowing I don't have him. I have to get
or
these
anyone
other,
else.
I have to get these other guys involved, and we can sort of morph into the offense here because that's let's face it, isn't that the biggest storyline right now?
Yes.
You know, on the field, what I want to see at training camp, and maybe we can just open it up to the fans. What do you want? You know, what are you most looking forward
Paul
to seeing?
Perillo
on the
taking
field?
A very formal. What do I want to say? Professional.
You have no idea.
Mike Salk.
You have no idea what you want to say.
I always
say,
find it
usual.
Funny when guys on the radio get real, and Mike Salk does that a lot. He's always like, he has that ESPN radio where everything has to be kind of like outlined, and after the break, we'll give.
But
we don't usually do that.
Here. Offensively, well, I think it would benefit.
That's Fred's usually sitting here.
That's true.
I think it benefits Brady a little bit, knowing that he's going to be without these guys, and now I have this period where I can sort of see what I have. Aaron Dobson, you and I talked about
that worked
upstairs.
Out well in the spring.
No, it didn't look good in the spring. But let's face it, Andy, it's not going to look as bad as it looked in the spring. Would you
More
agree with that?
More balls on the ground than a team without jock straps. I don't know.
He's just no filter, none.
I seriously think that there's a problem.
there is.
Sorry, I'm distracted by the Tour de France.
But I am really. That's the number one thing I'm looking for.
Why do these people try to run alongside him?
Offensively, what does this team look like as Andy continues to be infatuated with Tour de France?
Well, there's a guy in barefoot running along a steep hillside.
I hope you trip. Fall down the hill.
What does this team look like in the summer on offense?
I don't know.
Do we get deceived that the defense has made the year two jump? And
well, we won't know.
They've come together because they're dominating every day in practice?
Balls hitting the ground everywhere. I mean, we won't have any idea. And Brady admitted that. I remember, you know, a few months ago when he said, it'll be at least mid-August before I know who I can count on. I think you'll be lucky if you can count on somebody by mid-August.
Yeah, because
I think by mid-September you should hope you're counting on
Well, them. He has said in the past it usually takes him till mid-season to get comfortable with his group of receivers.
And when he knew some of them.
And when he knew some of them, exactly. So to say by August you're going to be comfortable with players you've barely known.
Yeah, Andy and I had another
barely
thing
thrown to.
We were talking about upstairs. You know, we're doing, as Eric mentioned, the training camp preview. So we do you know, a positional analysis position by position. So Andy's doing the receivers, wide receivers and tight ends, and we do a projected starters. Suggestions, anybody?
Yeah. I got Amendola. Who's next?
Yeah, who's next?
You know, do you go with two tight ends and two wide receivers, or do you go three wide receivers and one tight end?
I think by
do you really go
of,
unconventional and use two running backs?
I think you have no choice but to go two and two, just because of who you have or who you don't have.
Who are those two?
Well, that's the question.
See, the problem is if Gronk starts the year, I might agree with you. But if Gronk's on PUP, am I starting Ballard and Fels?
Fels and who, man?
Ballard or, and who, man? Yeah. And, I mean, eh.
But then would you rather have...
I only have five guys to throw
no,
to.
No, I know,
you're
but,
giving me two guys I can't throw to.
Yeah, but would you rather have
who
that?
Who the guys you can't throw to?
The tight ends.
Why can't you throw the best,
I mean, I
the best third tight end in football?
But the idea wow. to...
No, but my, quickly, my
trouble is he's now the worst first tight end in football. That's a big jump. You know the Peter principle?
But my point is, would you rather have two tight ends on the field or three receivers?
Three receivers.
Even if you don't know who those receivers are going
to
be either.
Well, I said to him, I put three receivers, one tight end. I put Amendola. I put Jenkins just because of the veteran nature of him, but I don't feel great about it. And then Dobson.
In the spring. What we
right.
where
he sucked.
You know, but he was out there in
right.
the spring for all the...
But that
reps.
Was the problem. He was out there, and I saw him drop a lot of balls and not look good. But I'd rather have, like, Dobson out there, and maybe I hit. Maybe he's a rookie that comes in and contributes and makes some plays for me. I certainly don't think that Fels or Ballard or Who-Man are going to make plays for me. I think they can be out there. Yeah, you can put them out there, and you can throw them ball a little bit, but...
Well, Who-Man started to make some plays toward the end of last year. So maybe he's on a trajectory where he's starting to pick things up.
By the way, he had, like, five catches.
Yeah, well, I know, but it wasn't until the end of the year where he started to make some of those
On
catches.
Paper, yes. He and Fels had a great year averaging 21 yards a catch. Of course, they totaled nine catches between them.
All right. But that topic is...
Somebody's doing the tight end media guide.
Right, seriously. But you're welcome to join in our
I was
putting
to
together
a,
of the
and as
the training camp preview by talking about that topic or... One of the ones I really like, too, when we do the lists is three reasons they will and three reasons they won't when it comes to winning the Super Bowl. So if, you know,
let's just stick with the reasons they won't because they ain't winning.
Well, but we have extreme fans.
Wow.
We have fans who are either really, you know, Fred-like and...
Or Andy-like.
Or Andy-like. Right.
Well, really, it's Eric-like.
No.
I close the door on seasons. I never close the door on, like,
you
the entire
the door
franchise.
You close the door on the era. Now, listen...
You evicted the franchise.
Some would argue that you were wrong.
They haven't won any Super Bowls since I did that.
Well, some would argue the fact that they've been to two since you closed the door
and lost them.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
You're an idiot. Playing the role of Andy.
I'm playing the role of Paul. Nope, says here they haven't won a Super Bowl.
Well, it's true.
I wanted to get to your Daniel Fels thing. You always tell me how great he was.
No, not great. Professional.
I'm looking at his stats. It's like he had one year that he was
40
even
catches.
Half decent. You know, but you make him sound, you know your old thing I'm going to throw back at you. Did he have 40 catches or is he a 40 catch guy?
Oh, he had 40 catches.
Okay.
He's a 25 to 35 catch guy.
Is he
I
a
know
20,
he's never
is he,
had.
Is he a 25 to 35 catch guy? Or did he never have that except for that one year?
I know his numbers.
I mean, he goes from 41 to 21.
Yes, but was he playing with Tom Brady and well, I can't even say this offense because he's not playing with this offense anymore.
Sure you can because he's playing with a guy that you think is great.
Who?
Bradford.
Well, yeah. He was stuck with Amendola. Although,
who didn't really play all that much either, so... 508-298-0398.
I just think that your Daniel Fels love is...
It's not love.
It's very
it's
comical
acknowledgement.
To me.
It's...
I like Daniel Fels.
Zach Sudfeld's a rising star, but Daniel Fels isn't worthy of a mention.
Well, to me, the whole Jake Ballard-Daniel Fels thing, I think, is... That's ridiculous. Like, somehow...
Daniel Fels has
Jake
done
Ballard
more than those two. That's my point. He's more professional than those two. He's more proven than those two.
Well,
he is what he is, but he's better than those...
But,
I mean, he's
but
more
is that,
proven
is that
than those
fair,
two.
Though?
What?
Why has Daniel Fels done more than Jake Ballard? Because he's been in the league longer?
Played more, done more, yeah.
I mean,
Ballard had
Jake,
1 year.
But it was as good as the only good year that Daniel Fels
Correct.
Had. So why is that more? That's
the
part
not
that
proven,
I don't get.
The consistency.
But he only played 1 year.
I also credit a guy for 20-something catches on a bad team. As a tight end to me, run-of-the-mill tight end, that's what you do. That's a professional season. It's not great. But I think there are a lot of guys
catches,
that catch 20 balls.
We're crediting
20
a guy with 20 catches?
I'm crediting a guy on a bad team.
Are there, like, tight ends that don't catch 20 passes?
Oh, I'm sure. Daniel Fells last year. Michael Humanawa.
Well, outside of this team.
No, I mean like, you know, a top, you know, top two tight. I mean, I don't know. I still think
and
your
that's
infatuation.
The problem. He's the best third tight end in football. He's going to be one or two.
Yeah, but that's, nah. I almost said another very politically incorrect thing. I got to stay away from my non-PC thoughts.
Wow, you're going to have to turn your mic off then.
Who are you going to
say? Careful
there.
Anyone ever gone over the cliffs here?
I don't want to have to pull a Fred and say, just go, Paul.
Well, I wasn't going to swear.
Especially not in that. Well, sometimes politically incorrect could be worse than swearing.
Yeah.
Right, that's why I didn't say it.
Okay. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com, the email address. We got some games coming in, guys. We're going to get to those. We're going to take a little quick break here so I can read some of these emails that are coming. A few games coming in. People want to talk a little bit about Gronk and some other things, so we'll get to them in 2 minutes.
Mike's on.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, a tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
And to get in touch with us, it's 508-298-0398 or webradio at patriots.com. And Jim from Walpole has written in. We were talking about Gronk before the break and his, you know, prospects for going on PUP. And Jim wants to know, can you please explain the PUP designated to return rules? Can they place Gronk on this list and get him back prior to week six if he's cleared to play before then? Well, it's not... I think he's mixing up two lists there. There's a
correct.
There's an injured reserve designated to return, and there's PUP, active PUP and reserve PUP. They're all various. There are differences between them. They're similar but different. Do you want to take a stab at that, Paul?
Well, PUP means that you entered training camp with a pre-existing injury, and you have to be on PUP before training camp starts, and therefore cannot take part in any part of training camp. You can't practice at all during the summer, and then when it comes to the end of training camp, when you have to get your rosters down to 53, you can declare that person is now on. You go from active PUP to reserve PUP, and that takes you out at least the first six games.
Mm-hmm.
The IR designation, which is new and
from last season, yeah.
Right? Same time frame, but this is someone who gets injured during camp. You can put him on injury reserve with a designation to return. If someone were to get injured at some point during the preseason, one of the preseason games or something, but you think that he's going to be
out, healthy enough that
but he's healthy enough he could get back, and then I believe that's 8 weeks, right?
Minimum of eight weeks, yeah.
And that's what they used for Shanko last year.
Be cool if Gronk was on both. Started camp on PUP, came back, practiced, got hurt, and started the season on IR designated for
return. Yeah, I suppose you could do both, right?
Yeah.
I guess so.
That'd be funny. I mean, not funny enough.
No, not yeah.
Because not as funny as a guy driving off the course in the Tour de France and going in a little stream.
Because a lot of times teams will have a lot of players open camp on PUP, that active PUP. And I would say...
Well, sometimes it's just the conditioning run
right,
or whatever.
Many of those guys are not necessarily candidates to open the season on PUP,
right.
But that's just where they start. And Andy's got a perfect example is when you don't pass the conditioning run here in New England, generally, you're deemed to be on PUP to open camp. You're not physically ready to
right.
start training.
That's part
camp.
Of their physical is you have to pass the conditioning run. Who could fail it this year? Tommy Kelly?
Oh, one of those D linemen. Yeah,
Corey, I always look at new guys.
Not Joe Valano, yeah. Based on the one guy who emails us all the
oh,
time.
Oh yeah,
saying
that hasn't pegged in as a starter.
I always look at new guys, and those two would be two candidates.
Lavelle Hawkins,
Grissom, and Tommy Kelly.
Lavelle Hawkins has a little bit of a questionable work ethic history.
Yeah.
Who else?
You know, usually the guys.
Oh, LeGarrette Blunt, definitely.
Oh, LeGarrette Blunt,
because he's got a higher standard. He's a fat guy with a higher standard. At least the fat guys have a fat guy standard.
And you remember who had a lot of trouble with that? Antoine Smith, bigger running
that's right.
back, right?
And yeah. Joseph Addai, didn't he quit in the middle of it? I'm out.
Yeah, he didn't even make it. He didn't even make it through spring, right?
Peace, yo.
He got
cut the day before.
I got LeGarrette Blunt as starts camp on PUP.
Starts camp on PUP.
Yep.
Okay.
That's my guy.
Eldridge.
Kind of like a death pool.
That the guy that people will make way too much out of when it happens.
Hold on a second, Eldridge. Hold on.
EF is talking.
Hold on. I was saying Eldridge, trying to introduce Eldridge, but you guys kept talking.
He was in mid sentence.
Yeah, he jumped the gun a little bit too because I didn't finish introducing him.
Eldridge.
Eldridge, are you? I hope you're not driving right now.
Yeah, I'm driving, but I'm going to the beach, so I'm in the car.
Hands free?
Huh?
Are you hands free on the phone there?
I hope he's not hands free driving.
On the phone?
Yeah, hands free. I'm hands free.
Okay.
He's driving like Tommy Lee.
Just looking out for you. That's all.
Oh, Jesus.
Got a question for you. Well, at least two.
Go ahead.
Okay, Jet West has got a passing count. You know, like Breeze and his receivers together. Heard anything about Brady getting together in his receivers before the training camp began?
Well, he got together with Amendola earlier.
Yeah. Out in California.
NTO.
Okay.
I haven't heard of anything recently.
Hernandez was supposed to join them. That didn't work out so well.
Yeah, but he's locked up behind bars.
Bet you he wished he had.
Yeah. I bet you wished he had, too.
Yep. No, I haven't, but I don't put a lot of stock in that.
Yeah, I mean, I would only...
Plus, by the way, I'll definitely take Brady over Sanchez, who's, you know, scrambling to do anything he can to save his career.
Well, he's been doing this for years.
No,
Jets,
I know,
West thing.
But...
It's not obviously not working out so well.
And Brady's been not doing it for years, and it works out fine.
Yeah, but this time it's a little different. We ain't got our, you know, guns this time. So, you know...
I understand your point. You could use
I
a little
too.
Extra work,
it.
But I'm...
Yeah.
It is what it is. And
okay,
they get time off. That's just the way it is. I mean, it's not like they've been together long enough as proven veterans. Like, I think if Brady had said to Amendola, like, he wants to do it now, he'd do it, Amendola. But I don't know about all the other guys, Jenkins and Jones and you know, these guys. They're short-term fill-in signing guys. Amendola knows he's going to be here, and yes, I want to get off to it and all that. But those guys might not even be on the team that would potentially be working out there. So I don't think it's that big a deal.
Yeah, Dobson and Boyce, they're still injured, right? So
well,
I don't know.
Last we saw them, they were injured.
I don't know what their status is right now, physically. Do you have another one?
Last
do you ever like to talk about anything but receivers?
Passing game.
Yeah, you have a little bit of an unhealthy obsession with
receivers.
How about
we talk run stuffers? What do you think about Tommy Kelly and Corey Grissom?
Because Eldridge is smart. He realizes the only thing that matters in the NFL is the passing game. If you don't have a passing game, you can't win.
Yeah, can't win. Right. Hey, like we had a good passing team for the last couple years, but
and we won a lot of games.
That's why the Broncos are going to win 13 games this year.
Yes, I like the Broncos. That's my other question. On the last broadcast, heard that I think it was Andy.
Might have been.
And we should beat the Broncos.
Whoa! No!
I don't
think there's a shot in hell right now.
I asked Andy. By the way, Andy doesn't believe the Broncos will lose to many teams this year.
No, I don't either.
I think there are 13 to 14 win teams.
Oh, yeah.
But I asked Andy if he thought there was a discernible difference in talent between Denver and the Patriots, and Andy said yes, hell yes. I don't think.
I think
Denver's better than the Patriots right now. I would submit that, but I don't think there's a discernible difference in talent between the two teams.
You know?
No, I think they're better. I think they were very close last year, and I think the Patriots lost some guys that give Denver edges on paper. We'll see how it all unfolds. I'm not willing to concede anything yet.
Well, for the defense-wise, Denver didn't help themselves out a little bit better. And receiving core, and well, all they Denver lost is a running back. They got rid of McGay.
Well,
you know what I mean?
But they improved. They improved at running back. I think defensively they took a hit. They lost Doomerville.
Yeah, Doomerville.
But to me, Ravens, Brian Lowe said Ravens give us a fit. I don't think so, not this year. But I think Denver will give us a headache.
Oh, God, yeah.
A big headache.
Oh, yeah.
Denver's good.
If you win that game, it'll be by far your best win of the year.
I'm not sitting here telling you Denver's not to be feared or respected. I think Denver's very good. I thought Denver was very good last year. They finished with a better record than the Patriots last year.
They were very good last year.
Yeah.
Yep, and I agree with Paul. Not 11-5 team. I think it'd be a 10-6.
No, I. But then you don't agree with me. I think they're going 12-4.
Andy and I are at 9-7.
I'm at 10 and falling. I'm trending down.
I'm
going 10-6.
Yeah, listen,
you're in the ballpark.
Yeah,
that's
about right.
I could see it.
That's realistic.
I could see it, but I just think. I don't know.
Paul just thinks it always works out for Belichick.
I'm guilty of being...
That was his reason yesterday in the office.
Yes, that's one of my reasons, but I do...
In Bill, Paul trusts.
I do appreciate you taking the absurd comments that I make
for the
and bringing them on the air.
Well, you do it with me, six and ten Patriots.
While I've intentionally...
6-10 Patriots.
I've intentionally left the absurd comments that you make
I didn't make any absurd comments.
No, you make some of them on the air.
Oh, yeah.
Right, like Aaron Hernandez sucks, but now we can't win because we don't have Aaron Hernandez.
Well, but you know what
For example.
He sucks as a superstar.
We're going to start getting
that,
the money.
Right, that's right, and slinging it.
You knew what I meant. He sucks as a superstar. Everybody wanted to say New England's two-star tight ends.
Andy?
No, they had one star tight end and one who was fraudulently miscast as a
know
star
what
tight end.
I do know what you meant. I know exactly what you meant, and that's why I haven't thrown it back in your face. Until now.
Because we're on the air now. So.
Because, irrelevant. Because everybody knows
because
what I meant.
Because now you're chalking up my whole...
Not everybody... No. Nobody thought that I meant that he was worse than Zach Sudfeld
but
or
just,
worse than
no,
Daniel Fells.
I know exactly what
everybody
you mean.
Everybody knew what I meant.
I know exactly what you meant. People like to say it's Gronkowski and Hernandez. It's not. It's Gronkowski.
Correct.
And Hernandez. Well, there's a difference.
Hopefully it's Gronkowski.
But
it was Gronkowski.
The point that I was trying to make is...
Wow, that guy's flying. He's passing everybody.
I think it's equally as absurd
too,
to chalk up my feelings as to why I think the Patriots are going to win 12 games as it always works out for them. No, I have a lot of respect for the program that Belichick and Brady have sort of overseen over the years. They've done it with a lot less talent than they have right now. And I'm not willing to just say they lost their receivers, it's over. I don't think that. That's all I'm saying. I'm not just saying it'll work out because it always works out for Belichick.
So you think at the end of the year I'm going to think that somebody's good at receiver and somebody's good at...
You know. No, you might not think that. But they'll in the end of the year, they'll find a way to be productive, to be good enough. Just like 2006, I didn't think Rishay Caldwell was very good.
That's true.
Neither did I. Didn't think that. But in the end, it worked out.
But I thought Gaffney was decent. Yeah. He was a playmaker. He seemed to have a knack for making the play.
Then if you think that, if we'll use that as the baseline, I think somebody will be as good as Jabari Gaffney, who I didn't think was all that special. I think someone will be at least as good as Jabari Gaffney was.
They need to hope so.
Are you guys ready to play a little game?
Mm-hmm.
This is Nick from Doesn't Say Where. Guys, you haven't had enough games recently, so I decided to send you one. Here are the rules.
Thanks, Nick.
I'll give you a list of people. You must pick one and only one to be on the active roster when games start.
You got it.
Take locker room dynamics into account. Here goes.
Only one can be on the roster.
Only one of these names in each of these lists that he has can be on the roster.
Only one.
And he gives us five of them. First one, Randy Moss, Brandon Lloyd, Chad Ochocinco. I will take the least of the three evils and go with Lloyd.
If I have to put one of them on the roster,
I
agree with Edich. I would take Lloyd. I don't think any of the three will be.
I don't either. But if you have to pick,
I'll go Ochocinco. I hate
really.
Him.
Well, I don't think any of us.
I think
like
Ochocinco is the least likely of those three.
Well, I think they're all the least likely of the three.
I agree. Well, yeah, we all agree on that. But if you have to pick,
I hate Lloyd. I think he was useless.
We can't get into one of our semantic arguments. Better chance.
No, zero chance for all. And I stand by. If we put Ocho in the same role as Lloyd and force him the ball 100 times a game, he would put up crappy statistics.
I agree with that too, but I think that there are other.
Plus, he was nice to me. Lloyd was an a-hole.
Okay. No, what yeah. else? What's the next?
Okay.
Group?
Next one is that's bizarre
good,
because
that's a good group.
It's two different positions, but Tim Tebow or Sergio Brown.
I think this one's targeted at me.
Tim Tebow,
and I'm going to go Tebow.
Come on.
Yeah, I guess I'll go Tebow.
No one was a bigger critic of Sergio Brown.
I used to think no one could even get into my stratosphere when it came to stubbornness. It is in my stratosphere.
Okay, this is a good one. Number three, Jermaine Cunningham or Justin Francis?
Justin Francis.
Francis, no.
Only
no
one.
Question.
I got to go Justin Francis.
Yep. Brandon Bolden or LeGarrette Blount?
Blount.
I will take Blount as well.
I'm going to take Blount too.
Even, you know, after Although he passes the conditioning
when
run.
When he fails the conditioning right. run, that could be a hit to his chances.
And this might be the most interesting one, and he saved it for last. Good job, Nick. John Abraham or PFW favorite Rob Ninkovich?
Ninkovich.
Ninkovich.
I like Ninko, too.
I don't think there's any chance that Ninkovich is not on the roster, yeah. So I have to go there.
I have to go with that,
Well,
too.
But it's not really a roster. It's who you want. Like, not really playing. This is you picking.
Yeah.
You have to have one.
I've never met John Abraham. I know he's productive, but I know Rob Ninkovich.
Well,
I know he can be productive, and I like him as a person. I'll take Ninkovich.
Yeah. I mean, even if we're using that criteria, I'd rather have Ninkovich on my team than Abraham. I mean, Abraham, to
me
is a part-time guy that might. I want him. I want Abraham. I think he can help the sub-rushing situation.
I do, too. I absolutely want him.
But
and they still have three
Ninkovich
spots
is
left,
much
so
more
they
than
have
that.
The room.
At I'm still point. Waiting for the release. The Patriots have signed John Abraham, Dallas Clark, and I don't know, somebody else.
Randy Moss.
No, I was going to go with a cornerback. Is there like
yeah,
a
I was
veteran
thinking
corner
like a
I can sign out there?
There aren't that.
Rondé Barber out of retirement.
Not a whole lot. There's a Stanford Route, I think, is out there. He's a name that you.
You
I
could
mean,
go that route.
Oh, I see what you did there, Paul.
There are certain routes.
Pretty
he can't
hard
come
not to.
Another game from Mike in Pensacola. Guys, I'm going to give you two players for one starting spot.
Two players, you know, one spot.
You know, some people have a football game after Thanksgiving. You think Route goes out there and goes, there's certain routes I can't cover. See the family, the Route family.
Yes, we see what you did there. Okay, so two players.
He has to tell you what he did.
Yes. Two players, one starting spot. I want your pick on who would be the guy for that spot. First, there are four of them. First one, outside corner, Razai or Kyle Arrington?
Razai.
Razai.
I'm grudgingly taking Razai.
The devil I don't know.
Yeah.
Because the devil I know, I mean, Arrington is what he is.
Right.
I'm hoping
exactly.
that maybe
I'm hoping
Dowling,
maybe if he stays healthy, Dowling right. can do something.
I haven't
something.
Seen him fail enough, even though I think he will fail.
Well, I'm not sure so much worried about his failure as his just failure to be on the field.
Oh, I'm not. I'm eliminating that. I'm just saying if he can play, I still think he's going to not be very good.
Okay.
I think he's a big, stiff cornerback.
Number two, we're at wide receiver. Michael Jenkins, Lavelle Hawkins.
Michael Jenkins.
I'm going to go with what we saw in the spring, and that was Jenkins, yeah.
I haven't seen enough, but Jenkins is really trending out of my good favor. But I will still say
But
Jenkins.
Has Hawkins
no.
done anything
has
to make you...
Has not trended enough yeah. into my favor.
Okay. Outside backer, Jamie Collins, Brandon Spikes.
Collins.
Well, Collins, yeah, because Spikes
yeah,
you know, doesn't play
outside
linebacker.
That's not a good one.
That's
but Collins.
Not a good one at all.
Punter, Stephen Ridley or Zoltan Mesko.
The last one is a good one. Safety, Adrian Wilson, Steve Gregory. I'm going to go with Wilson just because of his.
That's a really that's, good
can
one.
Can I go
good
Wilson
one
early downs,
one.
Gregory later
no,
downs?
No,
I'm going to go with Gregory, but that's a really, really good one.
Going with
because,
Gregory. I would go Gregory.
I think that's that
because
may,
you think Wilson has nothing left.
That
or?
May happen. Yeah, I think Wilson is done. I do.
Okay. Even though we saw flashes from him in the spring,
flashes of what?
Well, the few guys who stood out on defense.
Oh, I'm sorry. You read my poll story.
Wow. Fraud Perillo.
Seriously.
Admitting he's a fraud.
My God. I mean,
do as Paul
guy,
says, not as he writes.
The guy has been to Pro Bowl.
Exactly.
I mean, say what you will about him.
Career?
Yeah.
That's a blowout.
Yeah.
I mean,
so I'm
Adrian
hoping,
Wilson is like,
let's
you can
say
make an argument
a,
he's a borderline Hall of Fame player. I mean, Adrian Wilson's career
and I would.
Has absolutely dwarfed anything Steve Gregory will ever do.
So
that's,
I'm hoping
that's not even
I'm,
a fair
I'm hoping
fair
that there's a chance that he's not done a la Rodney Harrison when the Chargers cut
yeah,
him several years
a
ago.
A la John Lynch.
Yeah.
Well,
Rodney
there's, that, there's that
Rodney Harrison
too.
was playing and got hurt and was out. Adrian Wilson was
no,
on,
I know.
On the bench.
No, I know.
For a bad team.
I realize that, but the point was that the Chargers didn't want Rodney back.
Yeah, because he was hurt, they thought he was done. There's
okay.
a difference there.
All right. Well, the Chargers
this
I
guy
mean,
was
the,
playing and they didn't want him on their team anymore.
Okay?
That's I mean, that to me is a big difference.
Maybe he,
not
maybe
because the, of injury,
maybe
because
the coaches
of ineffectiveness.
Can use him differently here. I don't know. I'm holding out that hope that there's enough talent left.
Is there a possibility that he plays? Absolutely. I think he's got a chance to start. I think he absolutely has a chance to play. I think he's done.
Okay. This is an interesting name. I don't think we've ever had this person write in before. Ankit. A-N-K-I-T. Doesn't say where, but...
I don't even have a joke. I feel like I should have a joke, but I don't have a joke.
Ankit.
Ankit?
What language is that? What's the origin?
It could... yeah, we're going to need the language of origin and use it in a sentence.
Do the chickens have large talons?
No. If
I
Ballard,
really feel like I should have a joke there, but I can't come up with it.
Okay, well, you got time.
You'll get it.
Yeah. If Ballard, Brandon Ford,
I got nothing.
Boyce, Dobson, Amendola, and another receiver light it up during training camp. Wow. Do you see the Pats offense being as good as Denver? As for our defense,
no.
I think it's going to be really good. I still believe that they might bring in Abraham. Having Chandler Jones and Abraham off the edge would be deadly. Thoughts?
Ballard, Brandon Ford, who else?
Boys, pretty much everybody
Dobson,
on the roster.
If they all pan
yeah.
out.
Yeah, if everybody pans out, then yes, they'll have the best offense in football.
But what is
they
pan
have...
out? Yes, if they're all superstars, then
yeah.
they'll have a great offense.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think they could pan out and not be good.
Yeah, and that's the point I was just going to make is.
Peyton Manning has 3,000-yard receivers.
What is the ceiling on undrafted?
He has three guys
you know...
who combined for 30 touchdowns last year, and you want Brandon Ford and a couple Jags to. What?
The ceiling on an undrafted rookie tight end,
right.
a fourth round
like Dobson,
wide receiver.
If Dobson pans out, oh, you can sell me he's like
he,
a 900
he could
yard
be Decker.
Receiver.
If he pans out, he
yeah.
could be as good as Eric Decker
right.
to use, you know, with
and
the
maybe
comparison
he's as
to
good
Denver.
As Demaryius Thomas in 3 years, but
you know,
this year.
But right now, hey, like Brandon Ford, if he pans out, what is he? I'm not sure that he's anything more than. A fringe NFL player.
I almost would have forgotten that Brandon Ford was in the mix.
The only reason I brought him up last week is because I was talking about Brandon Jones, remember?
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, listen, if they have everybody pan out, then we'll look at this offense a lot differently. I think that it'd probably be somewhere in the middle. Some of these guys are going to have to be able to contribute, which mm-hmm. is my feeling, and that's why I think that they'll be okay on offense. Not dominant, but okay. But there's no way they're all going to pan out. which would take you to have a continuation of this 550-point offense that you've become accustomed to.
Yeah.
I think four times since 2004, the Patriots have four different seasons they've had that finish in the top 13 all-time individual seasons. They've had a great offense for a long time, and I don't think we're going to see that this year.
It's not looking good right now, that's for sure. Second show in a row, we're getting tons of emails from Doesn't Say Where. We got to put a pin on the map for that place. Because
before you read that, can I just
is it hyphenated or?
Yes, it is.
I just want to thank
Something Wong.
No,
one of our listeners.
There is something wrong if you don't say where you're from.
A lot of people about the Lynx courses. Want to thank everybody that provided us.
I now know that it has to be on a dune and a brown fescue and
close to the ocean.
Yeah, maybe if we have time later, maybe we can read
British
one of those.
Open has to be played. But I can hear or see the ocean.
Fred always jokes that no matter what we're talking about.
According to listeners.
Yeah,
yeah. Fred always likes to point out that no matter what it is, our topic of conversation, we have somebody who sets us straight.
Of course.
And I didn't know all the different things about Lynx courses, all the different requirements, and
all the fraud Lynx courses there are out there that don't actually meet all the
Lynx requirements.
That was good. It's good stuff.
So this is Alexander from Doesn't Say Where. Guys,
now, does it say from Doesn't Say Where?
No, it doesn't.
Because there's the one guy or some
there's somebody
that
who does write in that to be a joke. But no, this is it's just nothing, no indication. After losing much of the receiving core this offseason, do you guys see a trade during the midseason regarding the lack of quality players at tight end or receiver? Something similar to the Aqib Talib trade. I was really thinking a player that's somewhat disgruntled with their current team, a Jeremy Maclin, since he's entering a contract year on a very tight cap-spaced Philadelphia Eagles. Also, there seems to be a connection between Belichick and Chip Kelly, a lot like Greg Schiano and Belichick. Bill uses a very similar offense to Kelly, and Maclin should be already acquainted with the system. I'd be fine with trading a second-round pick for him since Bill would take another Tavon Wilson, Daron Harmon, or Matthew Slater in the draft next year anyway. Or maybe a JerMichael Finley, as he fits that Aaron Hernandez
mold
of
H-back. Yeah, I'd take JerMichael Finley, too.
I do think a trade for receiver is a possibility.
I think Maclin is a possibility. I've been reading some stuff that fans have been sending from Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
A tight end they brought up was Clay Harbor. Who is one of your Daniel Fells types, you know, candidate for, he's probably, maybe Fells is a little better than him as the best third tight end.
It's professional.
They've had, they've brought in some guys. They brought in Casey this year, I believe the Eagles did.
Oh, James Casey.
So
he's
Rice.
A good fit for that offense.
So Harbor.
And he has the same helmet that he wore at Rice.
So Harbor goes down a little bit.
Rice is the Eagles?
The Owls.
But they have that
but
same
have
sort
that
of like,
wing.
That wing type thing on their helmets.
I'd rather be an Eagle.
So Clay Harbor, I think, is a tight end possibility, and I've seen Maclin sort of thrown into that as well. So there's been some people in Philadelphia that have sort of thrown that out there, knowing that Chip Kelly does have some relationship with Belichick as well. Maybe that works out. But I always think trades, yeah, they've happened a lot. And Belichick, few people have used him as well as Belichick has at the trading deadline and stuff like that. But I think that you always have to consider that a surprise. I don't think you can ever go into it and say, oh, yeah, I knew they were going to get Aqib Talib.
And I knew
they were going to trade for Randy Moss.
Right.
When a trade happens, it's always a surprise to me.
And there's a reason a guy's being traded, too. I mean, Doug Gabriel is a type of guy you could get. Somebody who's, been around, done some things. But it's unlikely that in August, September, October, you're going to trade for a guy who suddenly puts you over the top and now you're the Denver Broncos offense. And by the way, you're also trading for him because you stink. Because
you need something, right. What
you need, which is a bad sign to start off with.
Right. And if you're doing this at midseason, then that means
Then Brady didn't get comfortable with his receivers in August if he's adding one in September or October.
And if he gets one in midseason, then he has to take till the rest of the season to get comfortable with
it. And then we see Brady's body language strewn all about Gillette Stadium and people are
in the form of water bottles.
And Gillette and his wife is saying, I can't get the ball in, throw it too.
And then.
Better?
And no.
Really no.
Going in the opposite direction. But then you not only get the Brady face, you get what Alex in Philly seems to be feeling like right now. This guy needs a hug, I think. This has been the worst offseason in Patriots history. We lose Welker. Gronk's a human operation game. Abraham signs, in theory only. Hernandez may be a serial killer. Dennard may go to prison. Then there's Tebow. It's all just too much to take in. Have we angered the gods in some way? What's going on with this team? My gut feeling is that there's going to be a down year. The offense is going to take a step back. Everybody keeps bringing up 06 and looking at what Brady did then with a bad receiving core, saying that he can do that again. If we had 06 Brady, I'd agree.
Ooh,
but we don't. Snap. At this stage of Brady's career, he needs more help, not less help. Jenkins, Hawkins, Jones, Amendola are not going to lead us to the Super Bowl. Ballard's overrated. Hooman's okay, but not special. Fells has been invisible since he got here. Can this defense really improve that much? I'm hoping for the best, but I just don't see it.
Well, he's not happy.
It's Alex in Philly.
I think he needs
desperate.
A Paul. Since Fred's not here, I think he needs a Paul, because Paul's the closest thing to a...
To a homer?
Rump swab, yeah, positive
and I just wanna,
voice
and I just want to say this, because I've heard a lot of the 2006
and
stuff.
In the paper, apparently.
I've heard a lot of the 2006 stuff, and I understand that, and I think it's a good, the way that...
He's getting really good at just ignoring us. When talking
about that. I'm trying. The way he put it was right, too. You know, the Brady, you wouldn't think that it would make a lot of sense to put more on the guy's plate, you know, 8 years later when he's that much older and has that much wear and tear. Now, he's still, I think statistically, Brady's a much better quarterback today than he was in 06.
Statistically.
Right, but I agree with the emailer. I don't think he's probably as equipped to do what he did then. But I just want to say, just the Patriots scored 385 points in 2006. Mm-hmm. I mean, they scored like 550-something last year. So think about it. I mean, you're dropping by almost 200 points.
Yeah, but you all think that the defense is going to be better.
Well, they only allowed 237 that year. Well, that's why they were able to go 12-4.
And you think Chandler Jones and the defense are making a big jump.
I don't think they have a dominant defense. They allowed 330 points last year.
You don't think they can shave 100?
No. That's a lot.
That's why I don't think they're going to win 12 or 13 games.
I think that, well, what, you think that they were that close to losing all those games last year?
Without a great offense, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think their defense stunk last year. I don't care about the points and the turnovers. I think their defense still stunk.
You know that I agree with that. I do think they will be better this year. I don't think they were a very good defense last year. I think they'll be better.
I just said, I don't care about the points and the turnovers. I think they stunk. Now, that's a classic Andy quote. And Bill Belichick says, well, the most important stats in football are points and turnovers, obviously.
And I followed up with, I agree with that.
Right.
No, but I do. I don't think...
I say something stupid and Paul seconds it.
No, because I know you too well. I know what you meant. I know that you didn't mean that literally.
Right.
And I agree. I don't think they're that, quote-unquote, they were that good. They were like 10th or something in the league in points allowed.
So
9th or 10th, something like
that.
Do
you think the defense can improve as much as the offense regresses?
I think...
That's a good question.
Yeah, in other words, I think that it's okay to win a game.
In other words, when they balance each other out?
No, I'm talking percentage-wise. Whatever percentage you deem the offense isn't as good, it's 15% worse.
Yeah.
Can the defense be 15%
better?
Yes.
Yes, why
not?
Yes,
I do.
I'm not saying
I do.
I have my concerns.
You know what? I hate.
If you do, then why are they 9-7?
And I think that you. Well, I don't have them at 9-7.
No, he does.
I have them at 12.
I'm pointing.
I said there's potential. That doesn't mean it's going to happen.
And part of my reasoning.
I just said, do you think they can?
They can. Yes.
So if they can, they will. Because Paul's right. He's a good coach. If they can, then they will.
Not necessarily.
And I'll tell you something.
I believe that wholeheartedly. I don't personally think they can. I'm not. So I don't think Bill can, you know, squeeze blood out of a stone.
And if they were in a different division, I might feel differently as well. I mean, if you know, like you like to talk about the AFC. North with Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Baltimore. If they had to play those three teams twice each, you know, maybe I wouldn't be as confident in it. But I just feel like the Jets and the Bills are just gimmies. They're gimmies. And now all of a sudden you're two-thirds of the way to a division title.
But I'm worried about the better teams. I'm not worried about the AFC.
They don't. But fortunately for them, they don't play a lot of them.
They play enough of them. We
not
went through
this
the
year,
list yesterday.
Yeah, I know. And you have them losing to every one of them. I don't.
I get them at 2-5 in the.
I mean, you have teams that were below 500 that you're just penciling in losses for, like New Orleans.
Oh come on!
Oh come on! That's
not
that is not fair. That is not fair.
It is a unique situation, but I don't think there's any way possible they lose to all of those teams. I think that's way unfair.
I didn't say they would. I said 2-5.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous.
All right, it's the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick break.
5-2 at worst.
And we'll come back with more of your emails.
508-298-0398.
We've got some people on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com. Back after this break.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback. A running back.
tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in Progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
I'm trying to read the email here. Guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespecting
No, him. That's not my fault. It's no,
that's,
you.
That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical big head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses
that's
the emails.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm talking while you're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
No, when someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in progress.
He's going to kill him. We started off the show today talking about what Chris from Cambridge, UK is emailing in about today. Did you see the interview CBS did with the Gronkowskis?
Yeah.
There's an excerpt on NFL.com and also elsewhere on the web. It really seemed that Rob understood the gravity of the situation and reacted more maturely slash intelligently than I've ever seen him behave in previous media encounters. It was refreshing to see and fills me with hope that despite his fun-loving lifestyle, he's indeed the kind of player a franchise can really rely on. Given recent events, it's nice to have a player to be proud of. Incidentally, from the look in his eyes, it looked like there was a lot of passion there, which hopefully will be funneled into the locker room and fuel a few wins. Love the work you guys do. Chris in Cambridge, UK. Did you guys get any sort of... Well, I know, Paul, you said you haven't watched it yet. You just read what he said. But did you get that impression, Andy, that he was... Was it more that he was being mature about it or just angry that the topic came up?
Angry. But I think he understands the severity of the situation, the issue.
I would hope so, yeah.
So, and, you know, I'm a bad person to ask because I've always thought Gronk was smarter than people give him credit for, kind of aware of stuff more than people would give him credit for, and I think this would be an example of that. I think he wants to screw around. He wants to have a lot of fun and take advantage of his lot in life, but he's not the idiot who can't make a decision or can't, you know, formulate a plan of attack against life that people make him out to be, in my opinion.
I wonder, though, how long people are going to be able, people on this team are going to be able to avoid answering any sort of questions about what's happened this offseason.
Long enough.
The entire season?
Away. They'll go away.
I mean, I do think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens next week. Because listen, they can do whatever they want. I mean, there's no rules that say they have to do whatever, but I feel like if they handle this the way they normally handle stuff and they just completely ignore it, I think it never goes away.
I agree with you. I mean, the best way to make something go away is to just face it.
I think if you address it in day one, on day two you can say, we addressed that yesterday.
We already talked about it, exactly.
And then Andy's
But you have to address it at some point.
But you don't think Robert addressed it and they can get by on that?
I don't think Bill has addressed
it.
No,
well, he
hasn't. But I think people want to hear from him.
Yeah.
Now, when I say people, I don't really care. You know, I think Robert's comments on this were fine. You know, I look at it and I want my questions for Bill, and not that I'm going to be, you know, leading the pack next week, asking a lot of these, guilty as charged. It has less to do with Hernandez specifically. As sort of the overall philosophy, you know, yeah, it's about Hernandez, but you know, Urban Meyer, I'm interested in that. You know, have you talked to him?
Any comments I've had with
remain personal? Yeah,
do you look at your talks with Urban Meyer any differently in light of this? You know, will you continue to you know, whatever? Do you feel like you've used more risk with some of these? Did you look at him as a risk when you drafted him?
But
you know, that kind of stuff, not necessarily murder. This is a legal matter, and it's a very important one, and it's not one that necessarily the team should be commenting on in terms of the nuts and bolts of,
right,
of that.
But I bet you dollars to donuts there's going to be at least one reporter who's sent here, whether it's next week or sometime during the preseason, not a sports reporter.
Oh, there's going to be a ton of non-sports reporters here next week.
Well, yeah, but a news reporter specifically on the angle of, don't you think the fans deserve to hear from coach?
Yeah.
One of those type of things.
But I also...
Well, if he just buttons it down, yeah. If he just says, you know, I'm only talking about the players that are here. I don't think the questions are ever going to stop.
Right. I agree with you.
Yeah, that's why, again, I've told you guys, I don't think I mentioned it, I would have done an interview if I were Bill with somebody, a one-on-one, so it's in an environment I can somewhat control.
Control the
with
message.
Somebody I have a professional relationship with, whether that be Mike Reese or Armin Katayan or somebody, and have some of this discussion, because Bill will take it to the extreme, but I actually don't think the first press conference of training camp is the appropriate place to be discussing my relationship with Urban Meyer and all that. That's a big picture story and topic.
I couldn't agree with you
anymore. Bill puts the blinders on to, almost to a fault, but really, the message he has to send is, it's about us 87 players. It's about this room. It's not about 2 months
forward,
ago. It's
right. From this point forward, we're too worried about what's on the field.
And I'm 100% behind that, which is, again, why I would have done a Boston Globe or CBS or something sit down.
Yeah.
Then I could actually say, because I've been over that. That's part of the past. We're here about the 2013.
Especially
Patriots.
when it's going to be.
But it's too late for that.
We know
I think.
It's going to be a mess with.
Unless it's already done.
Overpopulation in the media workroom or wherever we have the press conferences for training camp between people who are covering the team for the team's sake and people who are covering it for the drama's sake. And in a press conference setting that's at most 20 to 25 minutes,
right.
You can't get all your football questions and all of your in-depth philosophical questions in, which, to your point, Andy, you sit down, you take the time now, this week or last week or whenever. Get that all out of the way. Sit down for an hour or two or whatever it takes and get those things out there so that your opinions on any possible topic that could come up related
to
this.
And even no comments
are out there. Anything, right.
You know,
just something on the record.
I answered this one. You know, I'm not comfortable going in that direction. You know, even get the no comment out there and get so that when camp starts,
you
can
at least
be about,
say it's about camp
and the
now.
Team. Gronkowski.
I've addressed that.
I mean, you have plenty of other issues you want to avoid.
Oh, sure.
Tebow,
yeah.
Gronkowski,
right.
Dennard.
Yep.
And I want to reiterate, we're not saying that, well, this, you know, this has to be done. You know, we demand it. This is not one of these, you know, all the whining media again complaining about what they do and don't get from Belichick. No, I'm offering my opinion of the best way I think to sort of get to Andy's place where you can say
where the questions start dying off.
We've moved on, and the questions. I think the questions persist as long as they're not answered.
Yeah,
I think this is different. This isn't, you know, you know, they lost a first round pick because of Spygate, and I can just ignore it long enough, and then eventually people are going to let it go away.
Yeah,
this is much different than that.
But I think it'll go away. People won't ask, and they'll stop coming. And
well,
now it might pop up some other time. You know, I don't know what he's scheduled to do, but you know, when he appears in court or you know, things that pop up along the way,
it becomes like newsworthy.
But what I'm saying is, I think that when you rankle the sports media, that's one thing. When you rankle the national news media, I think it looks a lot worse for you. And I don't think that the powers that be in this building will
They're not going to want that.
You know, if guys like Brian Williams are leading the nightly news with a rip job of the way Belichick handled.
Oh, I don't even think that'll happen.
You know, I actually think it's going to be a little bit different. I think Bill is going to do a better job of answering stuff. He might not give you any information. But instead of just pretending he already answered a question when he hasn't, I don't think you're going to get a steady stream of, I'm only talking about the players here. I don't think you're going to get it. I think there's going
to
be something.
I'd like to believe that. I've never seen him do it.
I think that you will get.
I'm not sure he's capable. I literally have never seen him do it, so I don't know if he's capable.
If he handles this the way he handled Spygate, he will get that rip job on national news. And I don't think that will be something that Robert Kraft will be happy with.
Yeah, I think you're right, Paul. But I agree with Andy too. I've
never seen it.
I have to see it to believe it.
But this is different to me.
A leopard doesn't change its stripes.
Yeah.
Oh Lord. Hot Rod in Atlanta. How you doing, my friend?
Brian Morey's at the door trying to get in. I flipped him
not
a bird.
So good.
What's wrong?
What's the matter?
He's coming to get you anyway.
He's gonna be 9-7 at the most.
At the most 9-7.
Yeah,
wow.
I don't see it happening, guys.
You're more negative than me.
I'm not planning on talking.
That seat's taken, Brian. You can't sit there.
No, that one's taken too.
Sorry to interrupt you, Rod. We had an intrusion in the studio.
Kick him out.
Hey, we got Dennard's replacement as a DB.
Oh.
Okay, guys. This team has
nine and seven at the best?
Well,
that's what you said?
Listen.
Wow, who would ever thought a scenario where I would be the only one that thought good things.
And by the way, I'm Mr. Positive, too, compared to him.
Yeah.
I'm trending downward toward 9-7.
Well, Paul, the thing is, you're not very negative. You're just a contrarian. So when everybody thinks that everything is
That's a good point, caller.
Listen,
this is a great call.
They think they're going to go 12-4.
Yeah, but here's the thing. How much of a contrarian am I when Fred thinks they're going to go 11-5? I mean, is that being a
concern?
No, but I mean, Andy thinks they're going to go. You said they're going to win 10 or 11 games, trending downward, but you said 10 or 11. Yes. I say 12. Is that really being a contrarian?
Well, because you think everybody's going to say they're dead in the water. You're preemptively saying they're still great.
Do you
I know how you work.
Do you think this, what is the percentage of so-called experts that will not pick the Patriots to win the division?
Oh, win the division isn't really fair.
That's different.
Why?
Because it's a terrible
division. If you think they're 9-7, then you're not necessarily thinking they're going to win the division.
They're going to win the division. At 9
if you think they're 9-7 at best, then you don't think they're going to win the division. If you think 9-7 is pie
here's
in the sky,
they're not going to beat good teams.
Right.
I mean,
yeah. Fortunately for them, they don't play many of them.
Seven of them on their schedule, right, Eric?
That's right.
Yeah, counting the Bengals and the Steelers and
the Saints.
Playoff teams, for God's sake!
I know. God from heaven forbid.
None of those made the playoffs last year.
They're playoff caliber.
I'm sorry.
Thus the Bengals and the Texans played in the first round.
Two out
of
three of those teams didn't make the playoffs last year. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The Saints are a playoff
corrected. The franchise quarterback with her, and the other, the head coach, was suspended for the season in the GM.
It's a playoff caliber.
Normal situations.
Exactly. I mean, they're not great teams, but they're good teams.
Exactly right.
And last
I agree with that.
Beating them. So this year, without Welker, without Hernandez, I don't see how we can do it. And I'm fed up with every preseason we go in thinking that the defense is going to get better, and it doesn't.
Well,
okay,
I think there's
that's
legitimate.
No, that's
but,
legit. Right, that's legit.
This is a good year to actually have that belief.
I agree with Andy.
Other years, we may have talked ourselves into it, but you have two first-round picks who were okay to good as rookies who are coming back for their big year two jump.
Yeah, but we've had McCourty, we've had Butler, we've had Chubb.
Very legitimate.
And you guys
I was high on Butler. I'll give him that.
I liked Butler, but I didn't think he could be a defensive player of the year like Chandler Jones or something.
Let's put it this way.
That's a big difference.
You know, I thought Butler was better than Dennard before, you know, either one of them got a chance to play, and Dennard's proven to be a better player.
I would have put him very similar, Butler and Dennard.
Now, Rob, just so you know, I want to just clear up one thing. I'm not saying that I think they're going to win 12 games because I'm trying to be different. I feel like they are.
It's because it always works out for Bill.
But, like, 2006, have you guys looked at the schedule? It was horrible.
No, I totally agree. I think the 2016
team. Good teams.
The 2016 to me was not very good.
It was a horrible schedule, and we made it, but we didn't beat any good teams. So if they make the playoffs, they're going to lose in the first round. And next year, we're going to be back here, and we're going to say, the defense is going to get better again, but it isn't. So I don't know what's
Well, that's where I have
on.
Them. I making the playoffs, losing in the first round. That's where I have them.
Exactly. And
I could see that happening.
I'm over here eating lunch, and I had to get a milkshake because I was so frustrated, and it's hot out here.
I hear you.
Oh, why didn't you get some for us?
They do like milkshakes.
Feel free to send milkshakes this way.
They may not have beaten anybody in 2006, but they led the AFC Championship game for 59
minutes. I don't
know
why there's an annoying voice. I apologize for the annoying voice that you're
hearing through
your
radio right
now.
We're having some sort of interference on the
microphone.
59 minutes they led the Super Bowl champions in their own building before they lost.
Yeah, but they were the Super Bowl champions if they win that
game. Tom Brady.
So don't pretend that the Colts went on to beat anybody.
Okay, but the Patriots would have, if they held on to win that game, they would have won the Super Bowl in 2006.
Instead of strictly using
the score. They were not losing to Rex Grossman.
Bad teams win Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Now.
Instead of strictly using the scoreboard as your lone barometer, what did your eyes tell you that year? Were they better
than most teams in the league?
Well, they didn't tell
me. Really? Wow.
They didn't tell me that.
Last year,
that's why we kicked him out of the media and sent him to a museum.
They went 12-4.
I mean, to send him back to the museum.
Of course. You know, now he's monitoring.
So should the Chargers say we led the team that ended up beating us for 59 minutes and then we blew the game in the last
four days in first place?
Yeah. I mean, what does that mean? I don't really get it. The San Diego Chargers were vastly superior than the Patriots that year. But the Patriots beat them. It happens. Upsets are
all right, thanks for the call.
Upsets are possible.
Rod,
the Rams
it.
Were vastly better than the Patriots in 2001.
See, Brian, you're driving our callers
exactly.
away.
Exactly.
It's true.
Before you wait, drive
no, why
any more
really
of our callers
here?
Away. Why are
Other
you
than
here?
To annoy us. What do you got to pimp?
Nothing. Just wanted to shoot the breeze.
No. You got to have a reason.
Fred,
no.
I knew
have
Fred
a reason.
Wasn't around.
You're here to pimp something.
You're pimping.
You
got to
have something new at the hall.
Hurry up, because we have other people that really need to
We do have a new exhibit.
What is it?
At the hall. It's called The Cover Boys. The Patriots on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Presented by Raytheon.
And the first caller that can tell us how many there are will get free passes to the hall.
How many Brady's been on? How about that?
Six.
How many covers Tom Brady has been featured on? Now, he's been some insets.
He's in the background?
He's been on some insets and whatnot, but he's
double
been
digits.
Featured on...
It's double digits.
And the first caller that gives us that number.
Actually, it's more covers than any Boston sports athlete ever.
Wow.
More than Bird.
More than Orr.
More than Bobby Orr, more than Larry Bird, more than Marvin Hagler, more than Bill Russell, more than Ted Williams.
Wow. Yeah. But not more than Michael Jordan.
I didn't look up Michael Jordan, but I would presume no.
All right, so tell you what.
If it's less than 50.
Also, if you come visit the hall anytime this month, you can register to win a Teddy Bruschi autographed football.
More or less than that.
Fewer.
Okay. These things really are huge.
All right, so tell you what. Leave us the number of SI covers. Yeah, I know you're busy. You got to run, but we'll.
No, I want to stay and talk football.
No, you got a museum to run.
We got
ooh,
plenty of
football.
As Fred would say, is the museum closed today?
Football.
The hall closed today?
So leave us that number, and anybody who calls in or writes in and gives us the correct answer, you'll get 2 free passes to the hall.
All the actual SIs on display?
We have 55 total SIs on display.
There have been 55 Patriots on the cover?
No, we have some others that were, for example, we have one of Bird or the comparisons. We have a section called Before They Were Patriots.
Ooh, college.
So guys that were on the cover. Kevin Falk,
now, are they enlarged covers, or are they just the actual covers?
No, they're enlarged. They're all different sizes.
Okay.
All
they autographed?
No.
And you could give them away afterwards, being nice.
Well, it's just images of the covers. We didn't put.
If they were autographed.
Well, if you printed them out, and yeah, I mean, there you go.
They're not autographed.
Okay.
Jim Nance is no longer with us.
See, his would be more valuable had you got it autographed.
We actually do have that.
Who was the first one?
Jim Nance, 1966.
First Patriot on an SI cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting fact.
AFL.
How many of them are negative?
Well, that's a very good question, Andy. Well, we have a section called...
The ones in the hall? None.
Zeke Mowat?
I'm just wondering.
He was not on the cover.
In the hall, zero.
We have a section called The Agony of Defeat. Rodney Harrison and David Tyree making one of those covers. Tom Brady. We did not include this in the Tom Brady featured covers.
The Jets.
Getting sacked by the Jets in the playoffs. There's a couple others as well.
Remember that one?
Yes.
When he's getting hit by the Jets and his
now, is Bill Belichick count?
Right. Bill Belichick is on the cover of one SI.
So that Grinch one?
Robert counts, right?
Santa Claus, I call it.
Robert?
Robert counts. One? Yes.
Wait, he wasn't
they were
the
okay.
Cover?
They were okay with that?
I didn't ask.
They don't know.
He was in Europe.
First of all, the actual we had at one
first
point.
First of all, he's got other things to worry about this offseason than the covers that go in the hall.
All of the 2007 covers have been on display at one point, and that was one of the covers from the 2007 season. So I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
I'm sure that Coach Belichick is not fond of that magazine.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Why? What'd you do?
Wait, was he not on the cover earlier that season?
I think it was in
first down
or something, and we got some static for that.
Was he not on
just publishing that it was?
Yes.
Yes. Well, was he not on the cover earlier that season for stuff we don't talk about?
He was not on the cover. He might have been inset on the cover.
Did they not have a cover?
No, he was only inset on the cover when David Halberstam wrote the book, I believe.
All right. Where's he now?
Oh, come on.
So you guys, what do you think, 9-7?
Yeah, we got to run, though, because we got a lot of emails here and calls lining up.
Get to those.
What do you think?
Yeah,
give us a record before you leave.
We went down the schedule yesterday, and
I think they'll win 11 games. I think as long as Brady's the quarterback, they're going to be fine offensively.
Teddy Bruschi told me a long time ago that's a dumb theory.
Well, it may be. But
okay, now.
By the way, a Teddy Bruschi autographed football available at the hall
at Patriot Place.
Let me just presented
by Raytheon.
Except as long as they can play a little bit of defense. If they don't play defense.
They don't play a lot of defense and have a pretty good defense, they're done.
I think they're going to have a better defense.
What do you think the most amount of points
per game
is going to
be that
fewer?
Great. Really
they're going to be able to score.
I think they're going to run the ball better this year.
So they need to score points
to win, not run the ball.
They're going to run the ball better than top 5 running game they had last year or whatever it was?
No, I think they'll be
by the way, they had a great passing game.
I think they'll be more committed to the running game this year.
I'm not.
Yeah, you can commit to anything you want.
I think they might be, but I don't think they're going to be as
they're not going to be as prolific. They're not going to score 520 points.
No, I know
that. But do they have to?
But what I'm saying is, what did they average, about 35 a game last year? You know, they can't win games if they only average 25 a game this year. That's a huge drop, 10 points fewer. I think they can.
I agree. That's my point.
That's why I think, but and just you fraud. You jumped all over me when the guy said that I was just doing it to be a contrarian.
I didn't
you
come say a word.
And then you were laughing. You were agreeing with the guy.
I was just getting Andy to egg you on.
And all of a sudden, what do you come up with?
I wasn't agreeing
11.
With the,
11
I
games.
No, I wasn't agreeing
with
the guy.
So I'm not a contrarian. I'm just like everybody else.
I wasn't agreeing with the guy. I don't think 9, although it's only a 2-game difference. It's not like we're
but that's
about.
A huge difference.
It's a big difference.
And no, 11, you're a homer.
But that's a bounce of a ball here.
You're with Fred, you're with the guy who runs the hall, and you. And, you're with homers.
And really, you. You said 10 or 11. So I'm really
you must
trending
be a homer. Down.
But I'm really not
he's
far
trending
off.
Down trending down towards 9-7.
What did they win last year? I don't even remember.
12 games.
12.
12 and 4.
So can I say 11 or 12, and you can say 10 or 11 just so we can be within one?
Well, so you're trending down, too.
No, I'm just trying to get all bases covered like you.
You're
I picked 12.
Down.
I stand by it. I mean, you know, 11 or 12.
So you're basing that on the fact that they lost Hernandez and
I'm basing it on,
Gronkowski.
Everything that's happened this offseason.
Well, when's Gronk coming back?
That's the other thing I'm basing it on. We don't know.
And that's
listen to this key. Rob Gronkowski will be back in October. But I don't know when Gronk will be back.
There's a difference.
Don't get a headache trying to figure it out. That's also part of my optimism is I believe that when Gronkowski comes back, he will be healthy and be able to be himself. Andy has some reservations. That's a very legitimate concern.
So
is
he thinks it's
coming
be
off
like
a second
Super Bowl
back 46 surgery.
46 Gronkowski.
Well,
maybe not even that.
Now, Andy now just associating himself with everybody.
No, we don't know what he's going to be like after the surgery.
Andy has concerns that he will not be himself. And I think that's a very legitimate concern. This is the most dominant tight end that we've seen. And if he can't be that, what is he? We don't know.
I think you'll see a lot of Shane Vereen in the passing game.
I do, too.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not going to make up for Gronk.
Yeah, I don't have to make up for Gronk. I just need to score, 25 points to win. And I think they can do that. I think that's an enormous drop-off from last year offensively.
10 points a game is enormous.
I'm submitting that they will have an enormous drop-off offensively.
So are you suggesting
I feel like they can
so
still
you have
win.
No faith in Danny Amendola?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's all by himself. If it was just Wes Welker, I wouldn't have any faith in that
I still have my
either.
Concerns about him, too, by the way, staying on the field. He's got to prove that to me.
Agreed.
I don't have as much doubt about the fact that he can catch the football as I do his being able to be on the field to catch the football.
No, I agree with that.
When I saw in the spring, he was the best receiver they have.
That was the value of Welker.
Yeah, but if you had been out there, he might have been the best receiver they had.
I mean, besides the fact that Welker caught 100 balls a year, the value of Welker was that he was as dependable as they come.
And durable.
With the exception
and
of
durable.
One injury that happened in the
well,
last season.
Well, that's part of dependable.
That's what
part
I mean.
Of dependable.
But even beyond dependable.
I mean, he
to
took
me,
a beating. Took a
yeah,
beating and got
me,
up
that's
every
durable.
Time. Right.
I still go back to it was the London game, right? On first down, he got his clock cleaned.
Oh, yeah.
They had to scrape him off the field. When it reached 3rd and 7, they called him back on the field, threw him the ball, and he got the first down, even though he was clearly not ready to play on the football field.
Yeah.
Just a side note.
He's tough as shoe leather, Paul.
Yeah, and forget it. Did you guys remember how we had that topic a long time ago about health in the NFL?
And the
we
iPads?
Said, no, we need oh. to, they need to centralize all medical. It needs to go through
yes.
the league. They're
yes.
doing that. They listen to our show. All medical is now going to be online and interconnected throughout the league.
And eight teams are doing the experimental thing with the iPads on
yeah.
the sideline. New England is one of them.
Yeah, but
so they're going to have the medical information consolidated, and you're going to have access to them via iPads on the sidelines during the season.
Maybe not iPads.
Well, okay, digital devices.
Surface tablets,
yeah,
possibly.
Tablets on the sideline.
I believe we're now a Microsoft league.
Who's going to have access to them? Like
the medical staff.
I don't know exactly, but they're going digital and interconnecting all the medical records and histories. And by the way, if a tree falls in the forest or if a podcast goes on and no one can hear it, did it really happen?
But the way it was described.
Are we not on?
Apparently there's no internet access in Gillette Stadium right now.
Oh, great.
But the way
should I put my mic on
but
when I say
2 hours
so
from
I didn't
now,
get to promote the hall.
No, the pod it's being
recorded
and will be available as a podcast. Yeah. And the bulk of our hundreds of thousands of listeners listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not live.
But the way it was described, that medical thing, was that if a player, like let's say Aqib Talib, had a medical condition in Tampa early last season and then is traded to New England will have access to the medical information about his injury or problems from in Tampa earlier in the season.
That's not a HIPAA violation?
No,
apparently not.
You work in the same business.
Yeah, but doesn't the player have to sign off on that? Isn't
no.
there privacy?
I'm sure the CBA signed off on it. You want to work in my league and play for my CBA, then you play by my rules. Or as I've always said, you don't like the paycheck, go work in Iowa somewhere in a supermarket.
He probably has always said that.
Specifically Iowa?
Well, yeah. Usually it's a cornfield in Iowa, and usually it's in regard to, like, Brady bitching about people, you know, paparazzi following him around, or Belichick, you know, not wanting to do press conferences. If you don't like it, and you want to pretend you just play the game on a field with no one watching, then go play on a field with no one watching, and leave your $7.5 million salary to someone else.
And I believe the fields where no one are watching are generally in the Midwest.
So yes, like, in corn.
Cornfields.
Yeah. I mean, that's obvious. You haven't seen the movie?
Plowed Under.
All right, Eric in Houston, we're going to get to you in a second. We got
so
more emails coming
calling?
In.
We're taking a lot of breaks.
No, we're taking a normal amount of breaks for a normal radio show, which is not something we're used to.
Eric's
here.
Got a banana he's got to eat.
So right after this break, we'll get to Eric in Houston and all the emails that are piling up.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me about.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of
fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
Apologies to anybody who was listening live to the show and then suddenly wasn't able to hear anything. We had a little technical issue here at Gillette Stadium.
Blame the heat.
Yeah.
Short power failure. Like the grid went down.
Little grid problem.
But somebody turned on their AC down the road and click, we
lost
their power.
Little too high. But we're back.
Certainly wasn't
live,
in this room.
And anybody downloading the podcast obviously won't have missed a thing. So lucky
for you.
Except
you'll hear us talk about it.
You'll hear us talk about it. And, you know, some people were complaining about it, but that's okay. Walter in Texas has a complaint. He says, I'll be happy with this season so long as they beat the Cowboys. Stuck down here in Texas for now. He's originally from New Hampshire. Yeah, I know the Cowboys aren't on the schedule, so you know what game they have to win.
Which one?
The Super Bowl, in order to play the Cowboys. That's the only way they could beat them this year.
This I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's a 0.0 chance the Patriots and Cowboys play the Super Bowl.
I absolutely don't get that. No idea.
0.0.
I agree with Andy. I think there's less of a chance of the Cowboys being in the Super Bowl than the Patriots.
Yeah.
Oh, I would agree.
But I guess I think his point is he hates the Cowboys so much that he wants to see, that's the only way this season would be great for him is if we win the Super Bowl by beating the Cowboys.
Then you'd have to cover Terrence Williams. He landed with the Cowboys, right?
Eric in Houston, are you do you keep up with the Cowboys at all down there?
No, sir. I actually despise the Cowboys.
Oh, okay. So you're like,
doesn't everyone? Except there are billions of fans around the world.
And Brian Moore.
I got a couple questions for you guys. The first one is, do you think a 12-4 record can maybe get the 2 seed in the playoffs this year?
Sure.
Yes, did last year.
Sure.
Yeah, because I feel confident, like Paul, that somehow, some way, Brady and Belichick will get the team to 12 wins.
You got good reason.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie either. That's part of my feeling is that, you know, the whole, I don't really have a logical, but somehow, you know, there's only so bad that Brady and Belichick are going to be. That's part of my reasoning. I have to admit that.
Okay, and my other question is, I'm not sure if y'all talked about it or not yet, but the Houston Texans are calling the game against the Patriots.
That's right.
Their homecoming game.
Yeah, good. Yep, that's a good point you bring up. We did hear about that.
I can't believe it. I thought that was so lame.
Well, they're doing it for all their games.
Yeah, they're doing
a
theme. They're doing a theme for every
home
game.
That's what I thought, but I figured I didn't have the information.
No, they did. They're doing a theme for every game.
I'm not sure you had to pick that one after you got your ass kicked up to the whole
like some of them were. Some of them are like Pink Ribbon Day, or you know, they're actual like causes. And the Patriots one is homecoming, which I'm assuming they're playing off of the Letterman jacket thing from last year, which didn't really work out too well for them.
Right. Now, that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is, you're calling it out. You're calling yourself out. You're putting pressure on yourself. You know, the old college thing, you know, you scheduled so-and-so for your homecoming.
Yep.
I mean, this is an intentional shot across the bow that we're not taking it lying down anymore. We're a different team. We're going to take it to you.
And maybe realizing that the fact that you wore Letterman jackets had nothing to do with why you didn't play well.
Right.
And the fact that you just played like crap.
Because J.J. Watt spit on the field.
Beaten by a vastly superior team, and that's why you lost?
Could be.
I mean, I give them credit for that. They realized the homecoming didn't have anything to do with it. We had something to do with it.
I like it. I'm always for a little drama and a little.
Are they making a big deal about that down there, Eric?
Not really. I was giving a bunch of guys at work about it. But I just thought, you know, after the Letterman jacket, they would have learned their lesson. But apparently not.
I kind of like it.
I think it's great.
I think it's kind of calling themselves out. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to be at the game?
Yes, sir. Tickets go on sale Monday. I'm going to try to get mine. I'll be there. I was there in 2009 last time it came. So.
Well, hopefully you have better luck than that
That game.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it all depends on how you look at it. Fred thinks that they was great.
That's right. Fred thinks they actually won that game.
Handily.
That's right.
No, they didn't just win. They killed them.
That's right. And they lost some insignificant player. Yeah. We have four touchdowns. Eric, thanks.
Yeah, contrary to what Fred said, they actually did lose the game.
Yeah, I know. Fred was there. He was sitting right beside me when it happened.
And you know that turf. Goes in moist.
Yeah, right. Another great moment in PFW in progress history.
Goes in hard.
According to Patriots fans, you better get on that ticket line quick, though.
Yeah.
A lot of complaints about these ticket sales here. For
well, yeah, they went on sale here 2 days ago, and like within seconds, they were
yeah, everybody, the site froze, and when I came back, it said singles only or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I already know
So,
about
Brian,
that.
You could have gone.
Eric, you could have gone.
Gone to what?
What? Singles only.
It was a singles only joke.
Oh.
How's the love life, Brian?
That's not for public consumption.
Why?
Yeah, see, I've tried to use that on this show.
Am I under the consumption?
You are,
Eric.
Bachelor.
Let's get back to our caller. With
yes,
he's talked enough
listening.
On this.
I was done with Eric.
I'm sorry, Eric.
See, Eric.
Yeah, did you had something else you wanted to bring up?
My
Eric?
Bad. I thought you were done.
Yeah, just one last thing. Okay. As far as camp bodies, I know there's still like a couple roster spots left.
Three.
What do you guys think about maybe bringing in a Braylon Edwards? And then maybe just seeing if he'll stick. You never know, as an outside threat, you know. Or is he washed up?
I think they would have brought him in by now if they wanted him. I mean, he was available.
So do they not want John Abraham?
No, but they might have already had that contract signed and just not announced, as we've been told.
Yeah, I think John Abraham is a money issue. I think they have talked to John Abraham. And
what, they didn't pay the check that they signed the contract already?
I don't think it's a done deal.
Thanks
I think
the call,
that they've negotiated with Abraham, and they're trying to get him to take less money.
Is Richard Seymour done?
No. But he's done here.
He's done here.
At $9 million a year or whatever he thinks he's worth.
He's already announced that he's not coming back here.
That door is closed here.
Yeah.
So let's get back to your love life, Brian. How's it going? Now, are we in the stage where it's 20-somethings or 60-somethings?
Oh boy!
I'm not going to comment.
Because unlike
what's
Eric,
the matter with 40-somethings?
I don't know, Brian. He's a lot like Eric, except he goes both ends of the spectrum.
What do you mean, both ends of the spectrum? What are you talking about?
You've told me stories.
You play for both
60-somethings,
50-somethings.
No.
Well, that's not what you told me.
You told me
there was an old lady
me,
at the bar
me.
Whose son was your age.
Listeners, I'm sorry.
I didn't do anything with her.
We rectified one
me.
Problem
saw
after
boobies.
The break where we got the stream back up, but we didn't rectify the other problem. Brian is still
Excuse
in the studio.
I really apologize.
But the far bigger problem right now is Andy.
Andy's being out of
line. He's going to get us all canned.
He's being
out of line.
Andy, we have a lot of emails, Palak. We have to get to them. Enough talking to Brian.
I'm just listening.
Yeah, just
I think people
turn his mic off.
He's auditing the class.
Turn his mic off, please.
Love exploits. Interesting.
Adam and Alex.
Walking in on better.
Stop talking.
No, they're not love exploits.
Stop talking.
They're lust exploits.
Fans need to have their say here. Adam and Alexandria, Virginia. Guys, love the show. Glad everyone's back. Two quick questions.
Do you have balls for breakfast?
Doesn't he always?
Yeah, I'm looking at you, Paul. I expect that from Andy, but it hurts more coming from you, as you know. This is Adam and Alexandria. I've always heard references of people failing this conditioning run. Never clear on what it consisted of. Is it similar to a PT test in the Army, push-ups, sit-ups, two-mile run type of thing?
No.
Or is it more football-oriented, and does it have different standards by position?
Yes.
Or is it uniform across the board?
No.
It is not. It's 40s, 50s, and 60s, correct?
I believe that's correct.
And you have to do 10 of them in certain seconds of rest and at certain speeds,
depending on
your
position.
Yeah, I think you have
position.
To run.
And the fat guys are the 40 yards, the less fat guys are the 50 yards, and the skinny guys are the 60 yards.
And it's you have a certain amount of time to complete each one, and then I think it's 20 altogether. Like you do 10, and then you have like a 3-minute break in between. You have to do 10 more, but you only have like 30 seconds in between each rep.
Right.
And then you're right; it's based on position,
and you have to complete every one in under the time. That's why they do the little like the NBA refs for backcourt. They're doing the little count: the one, the two, and you got to beat them.
So where does Brady fit into that? Does he have to run the 60?
I believe he has to run the 60. Mm.
And he finishes quickly enough?
There might be exceptions.
Oh, you're so young, so naive.
Pete Carroll might come by with a bucket of water.
Second point from Alan.
No, I think that
Adam and Alexandria. I have an issue with what
Paul
said.
I'm not sure he could once, never mind 10 times.
I have an issue with what Paul said earlier about, quote, this is the journalist thing. We're talking about Gronk and the reporter who was going after him.
Okay.
they have to ask the question or they'll be out of the business. I mean, no offense to you guys who aren't really that type of journalist, but I'm sure you have friends who are. I was yesterday.
Just like so you know, I am that kind of journalist because I would ask every player about Aaron Hernandez. Mm.
Why?
But you won't.
No, I'm saying if I had a real job.
His question is, why are they continuing to try? Why bother? No one's going to answer them, and if they do, it will land that player in trouble and be a problem for the team.
Because
that's
you don't,
not a problem for the media.
Because when you
and
think,
it's also your job.
Right.
Because when you think you know the answer to a question, that's when you're the, usually right. the wrongest.
Right.
Do you think Matt Light? I mean, did anybody have any idea that Matt Light was going to say what he said? Now, I know he's a former player, and it's not the same, but that was an unbelievable quote.
I mean, oh, yeah. The one from the Ohio paper.
But now, this isn't
you know,
about
what if,
the
what if you just said, well,
I'm
not even going to ask him. I know what he's going to say.
Right.
But this isn't about the Patriots or the NFL or a sport. When there is such a strange media case, they dig for friends, neighbors, you know, third grade teacher. Yep. You know, they go
it's
anywhere
also,
they can to get a quote.
And journalists don't answer to PR people or to players.
Right.
They answer to an editor or a news director or somebody who says,
and that's
your
why
story
I'm saying,
today
you'd
is,
be out of a job if you
right,
didn't
right.
ask that question.
Your story today
should
is to
the guy
go
have
out
asked
there.
His father?
Why not? He's part of the interview.
Yeah, and
parents
the
are,
only,
parents
the only
are,
thing I'm going to excuse myself from on this is I don't know, and Andy brought this up, what sort of
the agreement that
agreements
they
were made beforehand. You know, did he say, you know what, I'm not going to ask any of that. And then he asked him.
I thought it was
air.
Completely appropriate to ask
Gronk.
Well, unless he said he wouldn't.
But then he says next question. Even I mean, you got to ask that question. But
oh,
he says,
I disagree.
He says next question. So, you know, maybe you give him a little bit of a hard time. You try to make light of it or rib him a little bit. Hey, come on. You know, I got to ask. You know. But to go then follow up with dad.
Why not?
What does dad have to do with it?
Well, what does dad have to do with anything? He's injected himself
well,
into everything.
Book,
I was going
right?
to say, he's injecting himself into the story. He has right. since the day that right. he became a Patriot. Rob became a Patriot. So
right.
He whispers things in the media. Mm-hmm. He creates Gronk flakes. He's injected himself.
There are some parents of players like that.
Now, I agree.
I'm not that familiar with that dynamic.
But, I mean, to go and ask Gerard Mayo's parents, to me, doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But Gronkowski's dad is a big
parents
part
who
of
are involved,
Gronkowski.
They're yeah, they
and
become part of the story.
A guy who spent his entire career next to the murderer, or alleged murderer. So, like, from day one, they were together. So, from day one, there's a good chance Gronk was talking
if anyone,
to dad
if
about...
If anyone on the team knows him, it's Rob Gronkowski.
But
theoretically.
But just to get back to the emailer's point, I think it's a dangerous thing to just always assume you know the answer. So I'm not going to ask the question.
Right.
You have to ask questions.
And if you're
many,
told
many
that
times,
that's your story, you have to ask
many,
the question.
Many, many times you know the answer coming back to you is going to
sure.
be
and it's also too. You also need to get, even if the player says, I don't have any comment, you need to have done the job of getting the person on the record.
Right.
Even if the on the record is, I don't have any comment.
Which is what I said with
you
Bill.
You have to do
even
that
even if he
job.
Does a sit down in a comfortable, controlled environment, and he answers only 3 of 10 questions. It was, and you know, he gave you the no comment on the things he wouldn't
because
talk
you,
about.
You know why? You know why it's also important? Because if the journalist doesn't ask those questions that's on everybody's mind, and they air the story or print the story or air the interview, the viewers lash back and say, "Oh, what a softie! Didn't even ask the most important question. Well, he's not even doing his job."
Well, then you're
the,
Peter King.
The viewers
exactly.
The viewers do it, but. Like as you pointed out, Eric, your editor wants answers.
Exactly.
Your Peter King example?
Peter King is the editor,
I mean,
so no one does anything.
But can you imagine, you remember this was something that was not really important in the grand scheme of life.
Oh, yeah.
But he caught all kinds of static for not asking about the receiving situation right. and signing the contract and then letting Welker go.
Right.
He caught all kinds of crap for that. Can you imagine how much worse it would be if, like... Brian Williams was here and didn't ask about Aaron Hernandez because,
yeah.
I knew he wasn't going to say anything.
No, but I think the end of that email was the worst. You know, because even if he answers, he's just going to get in trouble. Well, that's not
the media's
job
media's
to worry
now,
about.
That's why it's a little different for us. You know, and Andy was making fun of me.
Right.
You know, you'll be asking. No, that's why it's a little different for us.
Right.
We don't intentionally try to put the players in positions where they might be able to get themselves in trouble.
Right.
Because we do work here.
But if we work for, you know, the Globe, the Herald, Channel 4, whatever, we would be doing.
Not a concern.
But
not a concern, but you're not intentionally trying to get him in trouble.
No,
you're
no.
asking them
no,
the
no,
question that needs to be asked.
But I'm not certain.
That's his responsibility.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. Whereas it's kind of our responsibility because we're all part of the
to
same.
To ensure they don't get in
but
trouble.
But Eric, I don't think you ask the question because the listeners or the viewers or the readers expect you to.
No.
You ask the question because you're doing your job.
No, no, my point was...
Well, but your job is to... You are a conduit of information.
Though. You're the quote-unquote expert.
But you're also a conduit of information between the story and the
reader. That's why it's media. That's why that's where the name comes from.
Right. So,
and if you don't do your job that you're told to do, you will get flack. I'm not saying you do it because you're expecting to... to avoid getting flack. I'm just saying...
And you should get flack.
The people who complain and say... Oh, you shouldn't ask that question because you know the answer you're going to get. If you don't ask the question, that same person is going to turn around and say, why didn't you ask the question?
It's like asking Bill an injury question.
Right.
I mean, you know he's not going
to answer. You're not going to get it, but you have to do it.
You have to ask it.
But that's the perfect example. And like Eric said, if you are writing a story about Tom Brady's knee and whether or not he's going to play the next game, and you just don't have anything about it, like you have nothing from Bill, that's not as good as saying... no comment, Belichick
said.
That's a better story with that no comment. Now the reader knows. Well, the guy who wrote the story, he asked, and he didn't get any further information. I'm not left as a reader saying, boy, I wonder if he knows anything about Brady's status
Does
that
he
he's
even
not
know?
Telling us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
But use Bill as an example. I mean, he has been away, so he has not been asked about Aaron Hernandez. But you know the answer. What's the answer?
Think it's going to be different. They don't.
I know what you're saying, Brian.
He's going to
be.
We're going to talk about the players right here.
I think that if he does that, he's going to be besieged with questions for the rest of the
year. Actually, no. He'll start off by saying, "Yeah, that's all in the past. I'm only going to talk about the players who are here."
Well,
I think it's in the past.
I think this. I think he needs to talk about this a little bit.
I think he's going to do the
to get rid of it. Not because
Robert Kraft spoke last week, and I agree with everything he said.
Not for me. Well, see, to me, then the follow up question should be: Well, what specifically do you agree with?
Everything he said.
Give me an example.
Everything he said.
Yeah. No, I want an example.
Everything.
Not everything. Everything. I want an example.
Everything he said.
But
this is my point. Right.
You can be as belligerent as you want, but I'm just going to say everything he said.
Exactly. But this is my point. And if this and that just sort of happened
but
organically,
you say, Mr. Kraft,
then it
spoke
never
on behalf
ends. It's
going to
go on. Not forever.
It's not my position to do that.
It's going
to
go on forever if it doesn't get addressed.
I don't think it will.
Yeah. Of course it will.
They'll stop asking him about it.
No, they won't. I don't think they will.
No. Because here's what happens, Brian.
Every time for 10 years.
No, listen. Every time,
it's never been about anything important. This is
right.
This is
important.
Life.
Every time Aaron Hernandez has a court appearance or when his trial starts, there are going to be news reporters coming here wanting to know. You know, we want answers from Bill Belichick about why he drafted this
guy. The point
guy.
I made, Brian, was it's one thing
it's
to rankle the national sports media, and it's another thing to be on the nightly news looking like a jackass, not answering any questions about something like murder. I think that there's a difference there.
Big difference.
And listen.
He's going to do it.
He doesn't owe me anything. Bill does not owe me a thing. Whatever he chooses to do, it's fine. I think that they need to have some conversations. Robert, Jonathan, Bill, Stacey James, the media, they need to get their strategy down and figure out exactly how they want to handle this. But I do not think they can just go status quo here and pretend that nothing happened
and just say,
I'm only talking about the players.
I don't think
here.
He's going to pretend that
I don't think
happened.
You
he's
can
say,
do that.
Robert spoke on behalf of the organization. I have nothing to add to that. We're going to talk about the players that
but
are
there
here.
Are going to be people who want him to add to that because he's
when has
the,
that mattered?
Well, it matters now because it's grown into a huge
I'm trying to explain story. Why I think it matters.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think it's going to matter to Bill. I think Bill's going to
Well, then I think it's going to
but it's going to reflect
badly on the organization.
Yeah.
It's not going to be
and the
it's going to
people upstairs aren't going to be happy about that.
I think if you answer it in day 1, it's over
it's
in
over
day
with.
2.
And you have a reason to say I already addressed that. Now you have a legitimate
now, every
claim.
Day,
I think that's a valid point.
Every day you can say
I already talked about that. I'm in camp now. I'm worried about my team.
All football right now.
Right.
And I think he's going to probably end up talking the day before camp actually opens. I think he's probably going
to
talk
to one person
on Thursday. No, to us.
That's what I think he should do.
See, Andy, I think Andy's right.
That's what
he should have done. It's too late now.
A one-on-one sit-down with whoever he deems.
Yeah, but that's not going to stop the questions.
But now he can say I addressed it.
I already talked about it.
Right, kind of what he did with Armin Katayan.
Yes. Yes. I actually think he would be a good choice.
That was an example that Andy brought up as a guy that would be trusted.
He's a respected guy in the world.
With a news background.
With a news background who Bill has a good relationship with and would feel comfortable doing it with.
But I think if
I think that ship has sailed at this point.
If you talk about, if you at least address it.
They have planes, they have, you know, the ability to do things. He could have done an interview in Europe. You think Armin could if Bill said, Armin, I'll do a sit down with you for CBS, 60 minutes.
Meet me
or
at the Eiffel Tower.
And
was he away?
Armin would be
like,
right under the Eiffel Tower.
Was he away?
Saying wee wee bee bee.
Since it happened until now? Has he been away the whole time? But I also would say that if you do answer questions, and I'm not saying that you go into great depth and detail, no way. Matter of fact, that would be unwise. This is a very serious. It's a murder investigation.
So what? So what would you say?
I don't know. I don't know the answers.
Well, yeah.
I don't know the information, so I don't know what I would say.
And we have a lot of emails I want to get to before the end of the show, so I want to move this along. Thanks for your contributions.
But
again,
I do
Brian.
Just think, day two, Brian, to finish that up.
And it's like worse than
we
B-Low.
Are sick
he never
of Brian's
up.
Coming on this show day and just two, talking.
Bah, bah, bah,
bah, bah, bah.
I never come on.
No, Brian's.
Brian's.
Brian I'm lumping you in with Lowe.
Brian
battling Lowe.
Didn't make a lot of friends last week.
We have our second email from Cambridge, England today. From this one from Freddie in Cambridge.
Freddie!
What's up, guys? Second time emailing. Good to have you back, and great job keeping us going through the offseason. Couple things. Firstly,
great.
Seems that with the astonishing offseason that really has just battered the Patriots from a playing and franchise standpoint, there's lots of things to be negative about, and honestly, I think the season's going to be a wake-up call for a lot of fans, especially when people are going to be gunning for us throughout the country. But there's another attitude we should be taking, and that's that it's a huge opportunity for the Patriots to bleed in some new youngsters and really grow the team. In an industry where players have to fight so hard to get just a little playing time, maybe this season they'll be given more of a chance and we could see some real development. This, combined with a slightly more favorable draft next season, would mean that in the long run, we could start building from the bottom again. Second point. Those with iPhones will know that when listening to a podcast, there's a 1.5 fast-forward button, which makes the people talking sound kind of funny and sped up. Andy, when you're stretching to finish a point and are nearly running out of breath, I have to stop, get off my bike, and check I haven't accidentally pressed that button. Take a breath, my man, and chill. It's only the off-season. Cheers, chaps. Keep up the good work.
But his first point, they were all, like, defensively, they were already very young. Wasn't last year like the youngest defense he'd ever fielded here?
I think
year?
That's about, yeah, I think that's right.
I mean, I don't know if that's a fact, but they were very young on defense.
Right. So defensively, nothing's changed. And offensively, well, you've gotten younger, but not all of it has potential. If Michael Jenkins plays, there's no potential there. He's Molasses Michael. And, you know, Danny Amendola, yes, there's potential. The young, I don't know, I just, is there potential in Zach Sudfeld being better than Gronk and Hernandez? You had Gronk and Hernandez.
Yeah.
Is there potential that Amendola is going to be better than Welker?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, they could have potentially decent seasons, but are you potentially better? And I don't think you are.
Yeah. Cliff in Alabama. I definitely think we're talking about the potential final record for this team this year. He says, I think we definitely are behind Denver and a few other teams, and that 9-7 is a legit possibility. But it could be worse, my friend. My friend, a Bills fan, is already thinking, suck for Clowney. I think I am bothered more by our style and persona more than losing a few more games. I miss defense and toughness and a gutty, underrated quarterback. If I weren't a fan and so biased, I think I'd be a lot more critical of the team, its players, and how it goes about its business.
I'd say go Downey for Clowney.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I know a lot of the quote Patriot way was a false nostalgia, but Ocho, Haynesworth, Hernandez, etc. have left a bad taste in my mouth. As an Alabamian, I like the Pats because I like things about them, not because they were the local team. That might be changing. I think I'm starting to like PFW more than the Pats now.
Woo!
I feel like I'm in a...
Send that to CCBB on that.
Andy on something today?
No, this is how he always is.
This is daily life. Do not CC anybody on that.
Do you notice it's hot as hell in here?
Cliff continues.
Could have been the wings.
I feel I'm in an old relationship with the Pats, and we're growing apart. Great show, as always, guys.
So this break is.
Should we give like
up.
An extra 15 minutes or so?
I was going to go a little bit long.
Problems.
Yeah, we started a little bit late. We had
Kevin,
a little bit of a broadcast.
I always go long. You know what I'm saying?
Just in case some people didn't hear us, why don't we go a little?
We'll go
bit
about
longer.
10 minutes more.
I don't know.
We have
He's
another
insane.
Game.
He's insane.
Cody in Nova Scotia wants to play another game. Guys, wondering what you thought we could expect from the defense this year, assuming Jones and Hightower pick their game up. I know Eric hates Tavon Wilson, but I thought he wasn't too bad at times and feel like having the other Wilson around will help him out.
I agree.
Now for the game. Cut, sit, start.
Ooh.
Okay, one player you have to cut, one to sit on game day, and one to start. You ready, Paul?
Paul's not listening.
On that note, I'm going to adhere to Eric's wishes and bid you adieu.
You know, he doesn't want to embarrass himself because he has no idea who's on this team.
Right. He's going to say, is he on the roster? Cut, sit, start. That's the
cut, sit, start. Right.
You haven't been on the cover of SI. He's never heard you.
Right. So you have
but
to
yes,
cut one,
visit the Hall
sit
of Patriot
one,
play.
Start one.
Huh?
Sit Mallett.
All right. It's enough out of him.
Cut Tebow, start Brady. We're done at quarterback.
Here we go. Cunningham, Buchanan, and Francis. Jermaine Cunningham, Michael Buchanan, or Justin Francis?
Cut Buchanan, sit Cunningham, start Francis.
I would change
Buchanan and Cunningham.
Cut Cunningham, sit Buchanan, start Francis.
Oh, that's right. if Chandler Jones is awesome, then maybe Buchanan will be good.
What?
After Whitney left. He fell off the map, and they said, oh, maybe the only reason he was good is because Whitney.
Oh, no. My only reason is I know Cunningham can't play. I don't know Buchanan.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why I'm willing to take
a
risk.
I'm taking a risk on the unknown.
Right. Me too. Jack. All right. Aaron Dobson.
He may prove to be. The other guy is a dime a dozen, Jack.
Dobson, Jenkins, and Edelman.
Dobson, Jenkins, and Edelman.
Start Dobson. Sit Edelman, cut Jenkins.
Yeah, I'm with
Yep. It's a consensus.
And his sure-handed stats from ESPN.
All right, tight end now. Zach Sudfeld, Brandon Ford, and Hooman.
Wow.
I would start Hooman, keep Sudfeld, and cut Ford.
But
start Sudfeld, keep Hooman, cut Ford.
Okay, so Ford is gone.
I don't know who Ford is.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't know him if he walked into the studio
really
right
wouldn't.
Now.
I have, like, let's see, that was the way the guy
why
drove.
Are they going off
he
the
drove
road
off
again.
Into a brook.
Oh, really?
Have you seen some of these hairpin turns?
Yeah, they're crazy.
Legit.
They are. You're on a bike.
And they're going like 35 miles an hour.
I know, but can't you turn? And don't you have brakes?
You're supposed to slow down on
the
turns.
Off the road.
Yeah, but you don't want
to
brake.
That guy holding on to
the
other
one. That's part of racing. They're racing.
Wait. It's better to go in the brook than to brake?
Well, it's like in NASCAR. You know, sometimes they take the corner and they bang into the wall on the outside.
Maybe somebody
will
take a
brake
and
he'll
take a brook and he drove into the brook. Who knows?
I think he's a bad racer.
All right, moving on to defensive back.
He might be. I don't know.
Cornerback.
Maybe he's the only one that's not on the juice.
You know what he is? He's the Jeff Demps of Tour de France. Oh. He's in the Tour de France, but he's a jag of a racer.
He's in the Tour de France, but he's not a Tour de France.
Okay, cornerback. Razai, Arrington, and rookie Logan Ryan.
That's
a
good
cut,
one.
Sit, and start one. This is a good one.
I would start Arrington, keep Ryan, and cut Dowling.
Oh, boy. Well, since you paid Arrington all those millions, he's got to be either a start or a sit. I will start him.
I'd get a dartboard and just throw it.
I will sit Logan Ryan and I'd cut down.
I have a reason for it. And now it might seem like it was contradictory to what Andy and I talked about with Dowling earlier. We both picked Dowling over Arrington as the starter. I do think that's going to happen. I am not a believer of Dowling. I don't think
First of all,
I don't think he's that good.
But
second of all, he can't hold up. He has not proven he can hold up. So if you're asking me who's going to start if Dennard can't be there, I think probably Dowling will get the first crack to start.
I do too.
I don't think there's a prayer that he goes 16 games to start. I know Arrington can.
Right.
He's done that.
He has done.
So it's kind of what I know. Mm-hmm. I think he's okay. I think Dowling is probably more talented than Arrington.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And Ryan, again, I'm just going to go with the young guy that has potential.
I'm literally just going to throw a dart. I have no idea.
Okay.
And I just had a funny image in my head in training camp in a full contact drill. Dowling's on one side, Amendola's on the other, and they run and they bang into each other and they both go down.
Oh.
The damaged goods both go out on one play.
It's like Rocky and
yeah.
And I get made fun of because I'm a contrarian. These are the things that pop into his head. How many guys can we get hurt in training camp?
No, I was just thinking, because both of the guys are talented but oft injured.
Speaking of that, we were talking off air yesterday about Connor Barth, the kicker from Tampa Bay. I told you he ruptured his Achilles. I didn't realize he did it playing a basketball game.
Oh,
basketball.
I didn't know what it was. I knew it was non-football. I mean, they placed him immediately in the NFI.
Yeah, but I assumed that it was like training.
He was trying to charity basketball. You do your basketball for cardio. He was just looking for the $500 payday or whatever he got out of it.
All right, last one in the game from Cody. It's Tavon Wilson, Adrian
Wilson,
Steve Gregory.
Well,
start Tavon.
You know who I'm cutting.
I start Gregory.
I start Adrian. Sit Gregory. Cut Tavon.
I start Tavon. Sit Adrian. Cut Gregory. Even though I really like Gregory.
And all
very nice man.
And three of us are on different pages. I start Gregory. Sit Tavon. And cut Adrian.
You know what that says?
Wow.
One of us will be right.
Yeah.
Has a chance to be right.
Daron Harmon starts opening day.
Yeah, well,
I don't think there's any
chance about that.
I've said this a lot. Theoretically, Tavon Wilson is like intriguing. His size, his look, his athleticism. I'm just not sure he can play.
I think he's a year two jump candidate, big time. I think that.
But I think he could also be a year two cut candidate.
I'm very much intrigued by him.
Like, I don't really think he's going to, but I have no idea where he is on the ability to play NFL football spectrum, which is a problem because, you know, his job is to play NFL football.
Somewhere on the spectrum.
You know, if he wanted to play in Canada, the Arena League.
All right, back to more emails here. Canadian Mike in Florida. In the past,
that stinks.
Brady has made some Jags look like stars. Givens, Caldwell, Gaffney, Branch to an extent. Other than Gronk, Amendola,
guys didn't look like stars.
Vereen, Ridley.
They also weren't Jags.
Who are the proven performers? Insert Andy laugh here. Okay. And assuming the offense does not struggle, who is this year's diamond in the rough? I believe someone will step up who has the skill to do so on our roster, or is he even on the roster yet? Regardless, I feel somebody will fill that role. See you guys in Miami.
I'm not sure I understand what the role is.
Like a guy.
I mean, if we're considering Rashay Caldwell, he turned into a star, then anybody, any of these guys could do that.
I'm going
because he was not a star. He was a Jag of biblical proportions. He was as average could be.
Mm. Biblical proportions. Jesus A.
I think Dobson could do that. I think.
Yeah, but he's not a Jag.
No, what I'm saying is, I think
the guy in the second round.
What I'm saying is, if we're considering that the success, I think literally any of these guys could do that.
I'm considering the jagginess.
You don't understand my point.
Not really.
Like, I don't know what we're aspiring to as to be the level that he's looking for.
Like, to me,
who's the diamond in the rough? Well, what
if
qualifies...
LaVell Hawkins has a great year? He's more of a Jag than Michael Jenkins.
But what I'm saying is, what level of success needs to be attained in order to be the diamond in the rough?
And what I'm saying is, what level of jagginess do you need to start?
If Rashay Caldwell is the level of success that qualifies you as... Well,
it's like kind of comeback player of the year-ish.
No, I'm,
where do you have to come from and where do you have to go to?
It's very similar to that. It's very similar to that.
I'm going Mark Harrison.
But if all we have to do to reach
having not
diamond in the rough status is
Rashay
Caldwell, then I think any of these guys could do that.
I think Mark Harrison could surprise me. Based out of theory only. Big-bodied slot receiver.
I love when Andy falls in love with these guys for these random reasons.
But what you should love more is when I actually see him step on the field for the first time and go,
you'll cut ties with him.
Wow, that guy can't play.
And you will.
And I will. You call me stubborn, but I'm immediately honest in those types of things. I won't just try to stick with it.
No. Well, you'll be stubborn is on day one, if you declare that he can't play, he could catch 87 balls in the season. You'll still say he can't play. That's when you're stubborn.
Depends how the 87
You haven't
balls
seen
came.
Him play yet, and you're sort of intrigued by 6'3", 235.
Rutgers, that can't hurt.
Yeah. But once you see him play, you'll make up your mind, and no matter what happens after that, you'll never change that.
That's fair.
That's where you're stubborn.
That's fair.
And that's where I'm stubborn.
That's
I'm
fair.
Similar.
And Bill Belichick as well.
Yeah, I
doesn't
agree.
Matter. The guy failed in four cities as a first round.
Michael
pick.
Jenkins is going
to
be our
fail
guy.
Right.
He's going to be our guy. Yeah, he
you
needs to prove
Geller
to us that he can't
fail
do it.
Here.
Right. All right. Let's end with one final call. Brian in Brighton. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for doing the extra 15 minutes.
Sure.
Actually, one quick thing. I'm with Eldridge. You used to be able to hear the show on the phone while you were waiting online, but you can't hear the show while you're waiting online.
What do you hear now? What do you hear?
Just nothing.
Yeah,
just nothing.
We have a problem that we have a lack of talent in the technological area.
Yeah, well, it just makes it hard because you're just kind of sitting there. I'm running around now trying to turn off my...
So you used to have it. You used to have it, but now you don't anymore?
Kevin, how come?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to look into that.
Because Fred's in charge. I knew that on Tuesday.
That was the
problem. We've been trying to figure out why.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's something to do with the telephone line.
Okay. All right. Well, what else did you call about, Brian?
Okay. So I wanted to touch real quick on the whole Belichick and Kraft approach to the whole Hernandez thing. Mm-hmm. And I guess one comment in that. I guess I kind of don't know what there is to say to me. I mean, the story's kind of there, and I don't have anything that I feel like I need to hear from Belichick or Kraft, other than, hey, we cut the dude right there. We didn't want to wait for him or anything. We just cut him.
Well, you have nothing to hear from Kraft because he already addressed the issues.
It's Belichick exactly.
that people want to hear from now.
But it's the same thing. Like, Belichick, I'm sure, was right there, and what? This guy's affiliated with the murder?
Well,
stop worrying about the legal process.
It's not
That's not what anybody's concerned about.
They're concerned about the way they do things around here.
Yes.
The types of players that they're picking. Bill's in charge of that, not Robert.
When you gave him that extension, Bill, did you think that there was risk involved? Is that a fair question? Are you interested in his answer?
Yeah, well, see, I would think no. I mean, he signed him to a $40 million contract.
Oh, but you
don't think he knew that?
You don't think that he knew there was some risk in that?
I took it basically how Kraft's response was. I mean, Kraft brought it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, but we want to hear what Bill thinks.
But that's a perfect example. Robert said, I think he used the term duped.
Yeah.
He feels
yeah.
like we were duped. You don't think that's a good quote?
Yeah, I thought it was a great quote.
Yeah, now I don't necessarily buy it, but I think that what a guy says, I think, is relevant on a situation with this magnitude.
Yeah, and so I don't want to take up too much of your time. I guess that's what the question I had for you guys was, if you had that one question you could ask Belichick that he would answer honestly on this topic, or at least you could ask him and whatever get whatever response, what would each of your questions be?
Okay, we'll answer that in the last few minutes.
I'll leave that and listen online.
Thanks, okay, Brian. Appreciate the call. Thank you. All right, that's a good question.
To me, it would be about more. It would be philosophical drafting.
Right, it would be specific to the player.
It wouldn't be specific to Hernandez. It would be something along the lines of,
are you rethinking the way you?
Yes. Do you feel like in recent years you've taken more risks than in the past, or is it just some of the ones that you've taken on lately?
And if so,
have not panned out?
Why?
You know, something
along
those lines.
And I think I know the answer to the question.
And I'm not,
but that's...
like Brian is absolutely right. These guys, they're not to be asked about.
Not the legal process.
The legal process,
no.
The murder itself. Did you know that he was going to murder? No.
Nobody knew that.
You know, but, you know, in terms of what it means for the football team, I think are very relevant questions for the coach.
Absolutely.
Now, I agree. You're not going to get a lot of forthcoming answers. You're not.
No, but if we had the chance
to
ask
the question.
But I
think that you have to ask them, and if he completely ignores them all, I think that it's not going to help.
It doesn't reflect well on him.
I think we need to turn the page, and I think that you're delaying the process of turning the page.
Absolutely.
By not answering anything.
I totally agree. What would your question be, Andy, if you had one thing to ask Bill in relation to this whole offseason mess?
How much did you know about Aaron Hernandez's off-field life?
When you drafted him.
I would say at various points, when you drafted him, when you signed him to an extension, and any part in between.
Any part in between.
Yeah, that's
something
kind
like
of along
that.
The lines when I said when you signed him to the extension, did you do so knowing there was a big risk, or did you feel like that was behind him?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Stuff like that. That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't have to be, did you know that he was capable of murder?
Well, no.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be something silly like that that has no chance of being addressed. It can be philosophical. You know, I think the Urban Meyer angle on this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But I have a feeling we're not going to get anything. But
no. Whatever we get will be interesting. However we get it and whatever we get will be interesting
right.
In and of itself.
Well, we have one more show before camp opens, because camp officially opens when veterans arrive, and that's next Thursday.
Paul has to do the conditioning run that day.
Oh, you do? Well, you better get. It's hot out.
PUP.
Yeah.
Actually, DID. Did.
I'm good.
Right.
I'm good.
So that means we only have one more show of really preview type stuff to talk about, because at some point next Thursday, I would imagine we'll get to talk either to Bill or maybe some of the captains, or something will happen on Thursday. I don't know if it'll be before or after the show. But then camp opens next Friday.
So next Tuesday's all Zach Sudfeld all the time.
Oh, yeah. And just this guy, Chris from California, has been writing in a million times.
Why
with this
do you
question.
Say this guy? That, it's kind of a shot, it feels like.
Well,
this guy, Chris.
Well, this
guy.
Because
he's
sounds
written
like
in,
you're annoyed.
I am a little bit, because he's written in several times over the last week or so with the same question.
God forbid we have engaging fans who want to interact with our show.
I'm going to reserve judgment on that.
Is there going to be any coverage of the rookie camp coming up on the 21st? How much is there actually going to be in training camp? Is the whole practice filmed? Rookies report on the 21st. There is no rookie mini
rookie camp.
Camp.
Right. The rookies start before everybody else.
And there'll be 0.0 coverage of it. It's not
exactly.
Available
it's not
to the
coverable.
Media. And right. Then there'll be wall-to-wall coverage of training camp. The best coverage
the best
you can
coverage
possibly
you
get
you
is
might,
on Patriots.com.
And you might get some snippets of video on Patriots.com
yes,
before camp
but,
opens, but it won't be anything.
You know, it'll be the way B-Lo and Jackie do things.
Oh, that's
a
shot.
Extremely
that's a shot. That was really...
I'm like trying to promote the fact that we might have some stuff that no
exactly.
one else has.
We will.
Exclusive video on the site, and you're downplaying.
But all I can guarantee is when camp starts, we'll have the best coverage around. Video, audio, and written. Patriots.
Hot dogs and sausages.
Yes, there will be those two at training
and
camp.
That.
Right. And since Fred's not here, I have to say it. We will see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.